It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about Howard Lutnick.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was using
money. If you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-filament formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into American Journal. My name is Matt Tardio, filling in for Brianna today. You guys need to go follow me over on X if you're not doing it already, because I'm about to drop some information over there that you guys are going to want to know. All right. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and hit the post button right now. You guys go head over to my X account at AngerTab, or you guys can probably see it up over here on American Journal. I just tagged them in it so you guys can get that as well. What we're going to be talking about today is going to be the Travis County District Attorney. That man has been up to no good for way too long, and it's time that we put this guy in check, and I want you guys to join me in doing so. And when I say we put him in check, I mean he needs put in check. This man is acting as a dictator over in Travis County. Every single law enforcement officer over there, I feel, just is in fear for their just doing their job. And all of this came to surface yesterday after a viral tweet that came out. And in that viral tweet, I was kind of shocked to read it. It was an attorney that goes by the name of Douglas O'Connell. And he posted that he is the representative for the three Austin police officers that got appointed by the Austin Police Association, and that the three hero officers who took down the terrorist over this last weekend, who attacked and killed multiple members of the community, wounded over a dozen, I believe, possibly faced a grand jury hearing for an indictment. As the process, he says, directed to the Travis County DA by the Wren Collective, we will be with them every step of the way. Rep Little, I'd be happy to visit with you about the grand jury reform. Now that within itself, when you read that, it's insane. That tweet's got 2.2 million views. It got so many views, as a matter of fact, it forced the Travis County DA to actually come out and make a statement on it. First people to actually come out, as far as news goes, that mentioned this was the Texas Tribune, from what I could find. And it blows my mind, and I'm sure it blows your mind. How is it that three hero police officers that end up taking down a terrorist that shoots up a bunch of innocent people are worried about going to a grand jury indictment? I mean, they must have done something really wrong, you would think, yeah? I would think that, wouldn't you? If a district attorney is going to end up putting him for a grand jury indictment, well, that would mean that he's got probable cause for charges, or at least he believes he does, and he's going to give it to a grand jury for them to make a decision. That's how things work in this country. But apparently not over inside of Travis County. Because what this attorney alleges, who we're going to have on in the show in the next hour, is that this district attorney has been going at it with Austin Police Department ever since he came into office in 2021. And boy, did I have a history when I started looking into this guy. And it should piss off every single one of you, because what happens is this crap goes on in one tiny corner of America. And it's not even fair to call Austin a tiny corner of America. Austin's a huge city. Travis County is massive. For this to be going on there. Like, citizens of Travis County, do you even realize what you have going on? I'm not so sure that you do, to be perfectly honest. Blows my mind. I want to introduce you guys to the district attorney of Travis County. His name is Jose Garza. Now, this gentleman, since he's been in office since 2021, has been accused by a detective in Austin Police Department of witness tampering.
You guys remember the gentleman from the BLM riots down in Texas, Sergeant Daniel Perry? He was an Uber driver that night, and he was driving through the BLM riots, and somebody ended up jumping in front of his vehicle and pointing an AK at him. He shot the guy in self-defense. He still got put on trial because a man pointed an AK at him as he's sitting inside of his car trying to travel down a road. These freaking rioters want to get in front of him and point an AK at his face. He shoots the guy, and he ends up getting indicted. Then he ends up going on trial. He gets convicted. And then after all of that, Greg Abbott has to issue an acquittal for him. I'm sure you guys remember that. That's this district attorney. And the deeper I looked into it, the more pissed off I got. Because, again, that particular incident, when it goes down to witness tampering, well, that came from the detective. The detective saying that the district attorney's office actually, like coerced him into not showing all of the exculpatory evidence. It's maddening. Ugh. This guy. I want to point you to his tweet of the first day he had in office. It's January 13th, 2021. It's very clear that he moves into office and he's set into place and he's bringing along his leadership and his change. Now, this leadership and change and what he ran on was supposed to be for the citizens of Travis County, that they have more accountability when it comes to police officers. Is he going to make dang sure that they're held accountable for everything that they do? And out of his accountability, what he was able to secure was over 20 indictments. 20. And on his second day in office, he ends up tweeting out and making it perfectly clear who it is he's going after and why. Now, it's even worse about it when he comes out and he ends up announcing he's going to be going after these, you know, police-involved shootings or these officer-involved shootings. Is out of all of those indictments, he really doesn't get a conviction out of any of them. As a matter of fact, he was forced to drop 17 of the cases after securing indictments. Now, I think it's important for me to kind of lay out for you how this works when it goes down to a grand jury in Travis County. The district attorney should have probable cause when he brings it. He should go forward and he should present information to the grand jury based on good faith to where you're sitting in front of, you know, citizens and you're presenting this information to citizens that says, these guys did this crime. We believe that they did this and here is the information that goes along with it. Now, here's the part that you probably don't know is that during a grand jury, the defense isn't, especially in Travis County, presenting any information whatsoever. And in Travis County, according to that detective, the district attorney makes dang sure exculpatory information is suppressed. Exculpatory evidence, things that are required by like case law to make sure that people actually see and have access to. Nope. We're going to suppress that over there just so we can secure indictments because that's what he ran on. This is right after the BLM riots. This is right after all of that crap. And he comes into office and he says, I'm going to take care of it. He secures a ton of indictments, and where does he go? Pretty much nowhere. He gets absolutely nowhere. 30 days after he's in office, just 30 days after he's in office, he is so proud of his work. He announces on X over on the Travis County DA site that they have secured an indictment for Christopher Taylor for first-degree murder and the death of Michael Ramos. Now, the case of Michael Ramos down inside of Austin, that was a big deal as he was running. And you guys are going to see the actual video evidence of that in the second half of this hour. And then going into the following hour, we're actually going to bring in Douglas O'Connell, the defense attorney for law enforcement down there. Those three officers. And he's also been involved in a lot of these other cases. So good on the district attorney, right? Just chasing down those law enforcement officers. Well, we'll take it a step further because after he got done announcing that one in January, he ends up announcing the indictment of Daniel Perry. Now that incident ended up taking place a year prior. He's so proud of himself. July 1, 2021. Today, our office announced that the Travis County Grand Jury has returned indictment against Daniel Perry for the charges of murder and aggravated assault and the death of Garrett Foster. Garrett Foster would be the BLM rioter walking around with an AK-47 that jumped in front of his vehicle, stood there in front of it, and pointed an AK at him, forcing Daniel Foster to defend himself. This what's up on your screen right here is an interview of Daniel Foster beforehand explaining why he's got to walk around with an AK. Because he's tired of people intimidating him, things of that nature, apparently. Claims that the police arrested his roommate and that everybody else is just a bunch of pansies, that they're not going to do crap because he's got an AK. What are they going to do to him? They're just all these Trumpsters and everybody. They're all just a bunch of frickin' piles of garbage, apparently. The level that this district attorney has gone to push a anti-MAGA, and I'm not even MAGA. I voted for Donald Trump, but I trash on that guy every day over my podcast sometimes. You know, like, I don't agree with a lot of the different decisions that he's made. I like to think of myself as a constitutionalist. You know, like, I agree with the Constitution. I like the Constitution. I think the Constitution is good. It's not perfect. It could be better, maybe. But here's the problem. Every time we try to change it, we start infringing on people's rights. It screws everything up. Just like this, where you have a rogue district attorney that's just going after numerous police officers. That Christopher Taylor guy that I told you about? Yeah, he even got brought up on a different murder charge for another incident. And in that incident, he was responding to a man with a knife. And when the elevator doors opened up and he's faced with this man with a knife, and the man turns around and he starts immediately walking towards the elevator, Officer Taylor ends up shooting the guy. Just like any other reasonable human being standing in that position or any other reasonable officer would have frickin' done. Because you get zero time to react. And by the way, he's trapped inside of an elevator. Knives are, you know, like people look at knives and they go, you know, knives, they're not that bad. No, they are. Knives kill and they kill fast. Knives are scary as hell. And that's what that officer was faced with. So the same officer that ended up getting indicted once ended up getting indicted twice. And the district attorney is super proud of it. By the way, guess how that turned out? You guys saw it up on your screen. This district attorney has had it out forever for these guys. And he starts leveraging these charges after he goes in. Now, after every officer involved shooting, at least prior to this guy coming in, you have a team of law enforcement officers, generally from neighboring counties, different police departments and things like that, that go together on this active duty or this officer involved shooting team, and they investigate the shooting, and they present the facts and the information to internal affairs and also to the district attorney, and they determine at the time whether or not there's actually going to be charges that need to be brought. But it would appear as if Jose Garza, after he got elected, decided that that wasn't good enough. And apparently the deal that he has running with this 501c3 called the Wren Collective of that's what I'm being told is prior, what do you call them? Appointed defense attorneys for the state. Apparently Jose Garza ended up making a deal with them when it goes down to the serious uses of force, which whatever that means over inside of Travis County, when it comes down to the serious uses of force, they're putting everything to a grand jury. Everything. As Ben, the status quo since this man ends up getting elected into Travis County office as the district attorney. In Travis County, underneath Jose Garza, you are not innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. If you have a badge on your chest, you are guilty until proven innocent by a grand jury that is presented information in which Jose Garza deems relevant, including exculpatory information. It doesn't matter if there's a detective out there that's done an entire freaking background check into this entire thing, a whole investigation. Do me a favor, pull up 11, put that up on the screen for these guys at home. Would you please? I want you guys to see this affidavit of David Garrett. He is the detective in one of these cases. And in this affidavit against Daniel Perry, you remember the guy that shot the Uber or the Uber driver that shot the frickin' rider down there? He alleges a lot inside of here. It's disturbing. He says, prior to the grand jury presentation of this case, I have several conversations with the district attorney's office regarding the presentation of exculpatory evidence related to Daniel Perry. It became clear to me that the district attorney's office did not want to present evidence to the grand jury that would be exculpatory to Daniel Perry or to show that witness statements obtained by the family of Garrett Foster and the attorneys were inconsistent with the prior interviews. Such witnesses gave the police and or the video of the incident in question. I had also wanted to present previous statements from the complainant in count two where she never once suggested that Daniel Perry intentionally and knowingly threatened her with imminent bodily injury by driving a motor vehicle in her direction. The district attorney's office made me remove an animation from Daniel Perry's driving the night of the incident, coordinated with his cell phone records, that would have refuted the deadly conduct charge ultimately returned by the grand jury. Now, that's pretty bad, but just wait, because there's more to this. On more than one occasion, I was directed by the Travis County District Attorney's Office to remove exculpatory information that I had intended to present to the grand jury during my testimony. At that point, I specifically asked if there would be ramifications if I did not do so. I was told by the assistant district attorney that he would ask the elected DA, Jose Garza, what would happen if I refused to agree with the limitations I was ordered to comply with. I was later sent an email simply reaffirming the exculpatory subjects that I was forbidden from mentioning during my testimony. Of my original 158-slide PowerPoint presentation, the presentation was reduced to 56 slides with almost all of the exculpatory evidence ordered removed. I felt like I did not have any other option but to comply with their orders. In my mind, after this directive from the Jose Garza is when the conduct of the district attorney went from highly unethical behavior to criminal behavior. This is a detective at the Austin Police Department, a freaking detective, laying out for you in the sworn court-filed freaking affidavit that the district attorney's office went to criminal behavior. He goes on further. He says, I firmly believe that the district attorney's office, acting under the authority of Jose Garza, tampered with me as a witness. Often witness tampering is subtle. In this case, there were foreseeable consequences if I did not comply and tailor my grand jury presentation as directed, and failure to do so would adversely affect my working relationship with the DA's office for the foreseeable future. I was also afforded no choice but to comply with the directives that were issued to me by Jose Garza through his assistants. Now, for those of you guys that don't know, law enforcement officers, they're witnesses when it comes down to these criminal cases. They're witnesses. And what he is saying here is that the district attorney's office, using their own power, because the detective's got to work with the district attorney's office, they could push a lot of pressure down to the police chief and end up getting him fired, end up getting him removed from position, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't know anything about this detective, if he's got a family, but I'm assuming that he likes food and he likes having a roof over his head. And at a minimum, that's scary as hell. That in a case where the detective knows that the charging language underneath those charges hadn't been substantiated because of witness testimony on the ground due to his investigation, he gets told to suppress it so that this district attorney can get his grand jury indictment and tweet it out and remain in office. He's been reelected, by the way. If you didn't guess, that was 2021. It's 2026. He says, I am familiar with the crime of witness tampering as set out in the Texas Penal Code, and under the circumstances, believe myself to be a victim of such tampering. Further, in coordination with my direct chain of command, I sought legal advice from Chris Coppola, assistant city attorney. That's pretty insane. He ends up signing it. He ends up filing it, ends up going in the case. Yet Daniel Perry still ends up becoming indicted. He ended up filling out that, by the way, just a couple weeks after his testimony. Probably one of the most annoying things, I think, that we end up seeing is this next document right here. This is when the district attorney, Jose Garza, after he had to drop all of his indictments because they were trash charges and the courts likely wouldn't have accepted them, ended up writing a letter to the DOJ because he couldn't possibly secure it. You guys pull up number 9 for me, please, because he couldn't possibly secure it. So he writes the Biden DOJ, you know, the ones that were running on BLM and everything else. He ends up pulling up and writing to the Biden assistant general, Kristen Clark. It was him, Kirk Watson, the mayor, and Jesus Garza, the city manager. Listen to this crap. He had to drop the charges. He couldn't handle it on his own. So now he reaches out to the Biden DOJ to try to get it done. On behalf of the city of Austin and the Travis County District Attorney's Office, we write to request the Department of Justice conduct a pattern of practice and investigation and the Austin Police Department's policies, practices, and procedures related to the use of force for crowd control purposes during the protest in Austin from May 29th to May 31, 2020. The parties seek to review by the Department of Justice because following the 2020 murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the death of Michael Ramos, you guys are about to watch that video here in a minute, in the city of Austin, the city experienced high-scale demonstrations and protests during the protest of May 30th and 31st. Austin Police Department officers used less lethal beanbag rounds to control crowds and protect property. In doing so, the APD officers caused serious injuries. Now, interesting enough, in the very, last paragraph, he ends up, bringing this up. How many open indictments he currently has? He mentions that he still has 4. That there's civil lawsuits worth $18 million that are pending. 8 civil lawsuits. As of today, criminal cases are pending against 4 officers. Yeah, what he failed to mention in that is that days prior to sending that off to the DOJ was that he dropped the indictments on 17 of those officers. And by the way, out of all of the 20-something officers that he ended up going after, not a single one is sitting in jail, had really actually been convicted. At least it hadn't been overturned because of this garbage, which we're going to get into. In the United States of America, you are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. In Travis County, underneath this rogue district attorney, Jose Garza, that's not the case. It's not the case at all. He is going ham on the Austin Police Department. That, ladies and gentlemen, makes perfect sense why the 3 officers that ended up retaining, being like, I don't know if there's a fraternal order of police. I don't even know who ended up retaining this attorney for him. I forget. But that's why they get assigned a freaking defense attorney in this case, even though it's a clear-cut case of they need to shoot this guy and put his butt down. And they're in fear that they're going to go before a grand jury. And with the Austin Police Department detective stating that you don't even get exculpatory information that they know would lead to you not being charged. Nope, they want to just throw it all out. They need your voice. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, you guys are going to watch some of the body cam videos of some of these cases and just watch how ridiculous this is.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at theoliveshowstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the 5-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. My name is Matt Tardio, and I'm filling in for Brianna. She's going to be here very, very soon, and she is bringing in her guest, Tommy Robinson. So you guys be prepared for that interview coming up in the third hour. Today, right now, even with everything going on in the world, I am so pissed off about this, I decided to bring you guys the Travis County District Attorney's Office and what a corrupt pile of trash he is as far as I'm concerned. And coming up here after this segment, we're going to have the Austin Police Department attorney that's actually assigned in order to protect the three officers that ended up putting down the Islamic jihadists from last weekend because they're afraid of an indictment. And right now we're going to go over three justified shootings, which were later determined to be justified, in which charges were brought against officers over inside of Austin. If you guys don't believe me how ridiculous this is, I figured what better way than to just show you some of the evidence out there on how ridiculous this is. Why not just show you some of the body cam footage and talk you through the legalities of it? First case that we're going to end up going over is going to be that of the Mike Ramos shooting.
You guys are going to listen to the 911 call, then you're going to end up seeing the officers arrive on scene. I'm going to play that full portion unedited. It's going to be about 4 minutes of that, so just bear with me. And then you're going to see another angle of the officer that fired the shots. And that officer is Christopher Taylor. That's the same officer that ended up getting indicted on two separate shootings by this district attorney. It's almost like he had it out for him. Let's go ahead and roll the first clip for them of the 911 call.
On at Oak Valley Apartments.
Yeah. I'm in the Rosemont Apartments. It's a gold and black Prius outside.
I'm sorry. The phone is real muffled. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I need you to start over. I couldn't understand anything you were saying. What's going on?
They're in the car smoking crack and cooking meth.
Okay, what color and type of vehicle is it?
It's a gold Prius. It's a gold Prius with a Hispanic man and a Hispanic woman. They got toilet paper in the front. Toilet paper in the front dash window. And I'm seeing him with a gun. He had a gun, too.
He said a gold and black Prius?
Yes, and he has a gun. He has a gun to this lady.
You see him holding one to her?
Yes, I see him holding a gun, ma'am.
Is he doing that right now?
Yes.
Just one moment. Is he pointing it at her?
He's holding it up.
He's holding it up, or is he pointing it at her?
He was pointing it at her, but he got, ma'am. I don't know what's going on, but I need y'all to come quick.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's the information that the officers end up getting dispatched to. Man with a gun pointing it at a woman smoking crack inside of a car. Seems pretty dangerous to show up if you're a law enforcement officer. Matter of fact, the officers thought it was so dangerous they actually stopped and came up with a plan on how to go in there. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to show that clip. But it's enough that you know that the officers ended up coming up with a plan to block off the parking lot and then to actually conduct what's known as a felony stop on the vehicle or a high-risk stop, okay? Basically, that they're going to be calling the driver out of the vehicle and attempting to get the man with the gun out. That's a pretty serious situation if you're in law enforcement. That's the only information that you're getting showing up to the scene. Let's go ahead and roll the second clip for the ladies and gentlemen at home. This is going to show you guys the officers approaching the scene. As they get in there, and it's going to play straight through, you're going to watch the entire incident as it went down. Less than 4 minutes. Less than 4 minutes. Let's roll that clip for him.
Michael, listen to me, man. Just listen. I want you to turn around for me, man. Turn around for me, Michael.
I can't. I don't have an angle.
Turn around for me. I'll explain it in a second. I can't explain it right now, Michael, but you need to turn around.
Leave your hands up.
Michael.
Yeah.
Now, I got to show that entire clip to you so that you guys have all of the information that you should have, unlike grand juries underneath the DA. There's another angle I'm going to show you guys. It's of Officer Christopher Taylor. This poor guy has been through the dang ringer with this district attorney. This clip is going to be from his perspective of what he saw in the last couple seconds prior to him shooting. And then you're going to see him approach the vehicle. You're going to get a little bit of a different perspective coming out of this one. Let's go ahead and roll that last clip for him of the shooting. And you notice how his vehicle ended up impacting another vehicle after he got shot, after the shots got fired by Officer Taylor? I did. Remember how I told you that there was a potential hostage situation, that there was a firearm involved, etc.? And Michael Ramos might have been smoking crack. Now, it sounds to me like Michael Ramos was a freaking flyer. I didn't get the chance to read through everything, but I know when I was in law enforcement, if there was a guy whose name I knew first, last, and date of birth, we would describe them as a frequent flyer, i.e. they are problem children, the nasty 1% of society that you constantly have to deal with in order to, I don't know, keep the rest of society safe. You spend 99% of your time on 1% of the society. This is the way it goes in law enforcement. Now, there's another portion of this, which I got a feeling was not presented during an indictment. And that is the fact, the same thing as Renee Good. You guys remember the Renee Good shooting where the vehicle was being used as a weapon? The exact same defense was used in this case for Officer Taylor, because that vehicle was speeding towards one of the other officer positions that was involved in the incident. And just like in the Renee Good shooting, the vehicle is determined to be a deadly weapon. This has been affirmed by the Supreme Court time and time again, and yet he still got put on trial. He got presented to a grand jury, and that grand jury indicted him, and it sent him over to a trial. And then when it made it to trial, Officer Taylor ends up getting drugged through the mud to ultimately result in a hung jury. Recently, they have just now decided that they're not going to prosecute him any further. At least that's what I can find that's publicly available. Of course, let's not forget to mention that he was acquitted in a 2019 shooting that we have up on your screen right now. And you're about to witness that shooting that he had to get acquitted for because of this rogue DA. Let's go ahead and play the next clip of the shooting. For these folks at home, what this officer is responding to is a man with a knife. A man with a knife, and he's taking the elevator upstairs. And as soon as the elevator doors open, he's confronted with this man with a knife that's holding it to his face, staring in a mirror. And then he turns around and he starts walking towards the officers with that knife. Let's roll that clip.
opens, Da Silva is looking into the mirror with the knife at his throat. He starts to turn as the door opens, and then officers begin shouting commands. We'll pause it here to show you where the knife is right before Taylor started shooting.
That's it. That's the entire incident. And for that, the man got put in front of a grand jury, and then he ended up having a, you know, having to get freaking indicted after he ended up getting convicted. And I wouldn't be surprised, based on the other detectives' information here, whether or not some of the exculpatory information was not presented or was suppressed. Governor Abbott ended up pardoning the guy. It's getting ridiculous, the level of crap that this district attorney has gone to in order to chase after these officers. Now, that's just one officer that he went after. Remember how many indictments I told you? Over 20 indictments over the George Floyd situation, and none of it ended up coming through. None of it. The only one that really ended up coming through was the one for the prior Army Sergeant, Daniel Perry, that ended up getting acquitted by Abbott. Excuse me. I just said that officer, he ended up having being acquitted by the governor. No. He took his case after he was convicted to a court of appeals. This is the best part about this one. I'm sorry. He ended up taking that case to a court of appeals, and the court of appeals ended up discovering and finding that there was no reasonable grounds to charge him with in the first place. So he took him to trial. He took him to a grand jury, likely suppressed exculpatory evidence, put him in front of a jury that he convinced that this officer ended up, committing murder, and then ended up losing the appeal. And he was pissed about it, by the way, when he lost that appeal. It blows my mind that this DA is so brazen. The appeals court literally found that there was no reason to charge him in the first place, and so he got acquitted by the appeals court. So that means that this district attorney, who, by the way, again, every time before you go before a grand jury, you got to present some charges. You got to present something to the grand jury for charges, and then they get instructions as to what it is that they're looking for. Now, this isn't the only officer that they went after. They went after another one, and I'm going to show you here in just a minute. His name's Daniel Sanchez, for another officer-involved shooting. Now, information such as the man with a knife could have been on drugs. Information such as the man with the knife was not listening to lawful orders. Information such as the man with the knife was walking towards officers, and they got to go home at the end of the day. They are legally entitled to use self-defense just like you or me. As a matter of fact, they're held to a higher standard of it. They're judged based on something called the reasonable officer standard. Would a reasonable officer do the same thing? As a prior law enforcement officer, I can tell you, if there was a guy with a knife right there that's walking towards me, I absolutely would have shot the dude from that close away. You're going up an elevator, doors open, boom, guy with a knife. Walking directly towards you, could be high on meth, who the hell knows? Yeah, you're going to defend yourself. And unfortunately, the man died. Mental health is a very serious issue in this country. But instead of focusing on that stuff, down inside Travis County, the district attorney decides that he is going to focus on other things, such as screwing over law enforcement officers. Let's cover this next shooting for you guys. This is the Daniel Sanchez shooting at Austin. I want to play for you guys first the Ring camera video. It's pretty short. And the background on it is the reporting party had called in and said that this guy was walking around with a firearm all day long, thinking that, you know, people were after him or something like that. And then he was standing on his porch holding this firearm, yelling at nobody into nowhere. Ends up saying that the man fires a shot, I believe it was down the street, as officers are responding. And then the portion of the video that you're actually about to see is the officers showing up. But you're going to see it from the Ring camera, so you can see all the madness of this man. Let's go ahead and play that clip of the Ring camera video.
Oh, my God. You're fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid.
happens pretty quick, right? And that's from his perspective. Now, the officers, they're just driving by. You guys saw when they were driving by and you heard the shot going off. Those officers don't know if he's shooting at them or what. We don't know anything about that, right? But they were pissed because they said, oh, well, he kept shooting after the guy dropped his firearm. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, I want to show you the officer's perspective as he ends up ruling it. The officer's perspective. Let's go ahead and play that clip of the body-worn cam of Officer Sanchez.
That was a gun.
Where is he?
David 309, shots taken, suspect down.
Suspect's down, hands are up.
Shots your hands, do it now!
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. 309,
hey,
give me command.
Hey, come to us, Yeah. Guns on the ground.
AR-15's on the ground.
Okay, you ready? Move up, move.
I'm on you. Have EMS stage, we're moving up.
You good, Daniel?
I'm good.
Okay.
Watch the door.
Clear.
Now, here's something that the district attorney probably didn't like to tell a grand jury in this case. And that is that the officers are judged not about things that the officer ended up discovering after the fact, but what he knew at the time. In this case, what the officer knew at the time was there was a man with a gun firing randomly into city streets. The officer has a duty to protect the public. And when you have a madman firing an AR-15 in a populated area, that's a problem. Now, I'm sure people that are not familiar with firearms, when they see the Ring body cam or the Ring doorbell footage, and they go, but, you know, he also fired a round into the house. He just shot a round into the house. Right. Well, does that officer know that he's just not murdering somebody inside the house? Nope, he doesn't know that. And then let's talk about that particular firearm in general that he was armed with, that he was shooting. Those bullets go through multiple walls. That round was designed in order to penetrate. That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed to do all this crazy stuff you end up hearing, you know, in the news and TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where the AR-15, it'll blow a hole in a man this big. No, it doesn't. It's like a freaking ice pick, man. That thing is just designed to freaking go through. Talk to guys like me that'll tell you that you can shoot dudes multiple times with that freaking round and that they'll maybe fall over and then keep going, or maybe they'll just keep going in general. And that rifle's right next to his body. When I was in law enforcement, I saw a guy shoot, drive-by shooting with a 22 long rifle. 22 long rifle. It's a rimfire cartridge. Like one of the smallest cartridges really you can get. The only thing like smaller than that is like a 22 short, right? It's even weaker. It's just a lead nose projectile. I watched this projectile on average in these drive-by shootings of this freaking trailer park go through at least 3 to 4 walls on average before it came to a halt. And that's a 22 long rifle. You're talking about a rifle and a cartridge that was designed for the military to penetrate not just body armor, but barriers that people hide behind. So when that officer rolls up on the scene and you've got this guy shooting random rounds everywhere and he's holding a rifle and it's presented before him, how do you think he's going to react? And then they make the complaints that he ends up putting multiple other rounds into the guy. Well, guess what? Supreme Court's also affirmed numerous times it's made on a conscious act. It's not every single round that goes out. And this is all information that the district attorney is going to know. The conscious act of pulling the trigger by that officer. And again, indicted, thrown up, hung jury, everything gets thrown out. Over 20 officers indicted for the BLM crap. And you wonder why we are currently worried about the 3 officers that ended up putting down a freaking Islamic jihadist in Austin last weekend, and why their defense attorney has to come out. And they're worried, for the love of God, they are worried that this is going to go down, that they're going to end up going before a grand jury for an indictment. And it's all underneath this district attorney. Give you a quick recap over everything that we talked about. He's been accused by law enforcement of witness tampering. 17 indictments he dropped. And then weeks later, not even weeks later, days later, he ends up sending a letter to the Biden DOJ trying to get him to look into Austin PD. He couldn't even secure charges and he wants the Biden DOJ to go in and get him. Daniel Perry. Huge case, nationwide case. Everybody was watching that like it was going out of style. Suppressed evidence. Daniel Perry gets convicted. I wonder why the officers are worried about it. I wonder why this attorney that we're about to have on in the next segment is so livid. We haven't even talked about the 501c3 that he's working with yet. All of the high-profile police murder charges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ended up going through, or ended up getting acquitted, ended up getting dropped, whatever have you. From what I found and I researched, what it seemed to be is that only a couple tiny assault charges actually got put through, but they were put through on plea deals. And it's no wonder the officers decided to take plea deals because, well, you're in Travis County, where they elect a rogue district attorney like this. Now, if he can call on Biden's DOJ to conduct a unjustified investigation in the Austin Police Department, which he couldn't even secure convictions for, I think it's pretty fair for us as the American people to demand from the Trump DOJ to look into this district attorney, to look into this freaking detective's allegations of him suppressing evidence and freaking witness tampering. Witness tampering. On the record, witness tampering. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have an amazing guest who is going to be filling in. He's been down there defending these officers for quite some time, and I really hope you guys are ready. I hope you guys are ready for this guy. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, before he ends up coming up, maybe you guys should just, I don't know, go over and take a look, because right now they are having the March Mega Sale, and it's live right now. You can go over there and you can get your Methylene Blue. You can get your Ultimate Burn. You can get your Life Force, your CMOS, your MK Ultra, 25% off all apparel, hats, t-shirts, and hoodies. 40% sale ends tonight at midnight. Ladies and gentlemen, head on over there to alexjonesstore.com and pick it up. Methylene Blue does great things for you, ladies and gentlemen. I take it. I think everybody should take it. Great energy, great mental clarity, great everything. I freaking love Methylene Blue. Go get yourself some high-quality stuff.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to American Journal. Coming up this hour, we have a great guest for you. His name is Douglas O'Connell. He's a defense attorney, and he is a retired Special Forces colonel. More Green Berets in the house. You're going to get your I don't know, all you can eat of Green Berets going off on a corrupt district attorney today. Also coming up in the next hour, we got Brianna. She's currently racing into the studio with Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson. They were over at Perry's party last night when they ended up having that incident of the man with the gun that ended up getting arrested. I believe he had a gun, but she's racing in the studio on a flat tire. I told her she better stop, put some air in that sucker so it doesn't pop. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you guys Doug O'Connell, defense attorney, retired colonel, U.S. Army Green Berets. Doug, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, sir. I appreciate you coming up. You know, I was doing a lot of, you know, background on this last night. I couldn't help but notice that you've been really involved with this district attorney.
I have. We have a reputation of pushing back against him.
How many officers have you defended against this district attorney over the last several years?
You know, I should know that number. Probably upwards of 25 to 30.
That is insane. And out of those 25 to 30, how many did he actually secure convictions against? Just a rough estimate.
Only one. He was able to get a conviction on the Chris Taylor case. However, the Court of Appeals reversed that conviction and rendered an acquittal. And so that conviction did not stick.
Right. And so I was just going over that with everybody on the show, and I ended up showing him the body cam footage of that particular incident. And if I remember right, the Court of Appeals actually said that there was zero grounds whatsoever for them to actually have those charges pressed in the first place.
Exactly. That's absolutely correct. And when we get around to when we talk about problems with this DA and the grand jury, that's a perfect example of why we're so concerned when he wants to present cases for every officer to the grand jury.
Now you came out and you made that tweet yesterday over on Twitter, and it went mad. It got like 2.something million views instantly. And I think that actually forced the DA back on his heels a little bit to where he decided to come out and say, oh, no, these officers are heroes. We would never consider sending them to a grand jury. That to me sounds asinine. Based on his track record, it sounds perfectly reasonable that the officers would be in fear that they're going to get taken to a grand jury, even over shooting Islamic jihadists that shot up an entire bar district.
Exactly. And, you know, Matt, you can probably appreciate this because of our shared background, but, you know, we were trained and indoctrinated in the military in special operations to think of shaping the battlefield and information operations and spoiling attacks, all these sorts of things. And, you know, we try to employ that in every case. And yesterday's media that we generated, is an example of that.
Yeah, and I think you did a fabulous job getting that out there, because I think if you hadn't done that, most certainly, based on this man's track record, not only would they face a grand jury, but according to a detective, David Fugit, they would have ended up suppressing exculpatory information as well, trying to secure a conviction for this freaking, you know, police officers for putting down a jihadist, which is madness. And something I want to talk to you about as well when this comes up, we got about 50 seconds left before we got to go to a break, but, you know, in the next segment, and I appreciate your time, what I actually want to talk to you about, because I see, you know, you brought up shaping operations. You just made me realize, having a fellow Green Beret on here, I can actually talk to you about the DA doing shaping operations, presenting false information in media releases that are securing these convictions and these indictments, not convictions, but these indictments of these officers. Do you feel like that's taking place as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the district attorney's office has a megaphone. Every time he gets in front of the media, they cover whatever he's saying, whatever he's talking about. And because of that, it's impacting juries that come into the court and jury selection.
Jeez. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you guys for joining us. Doug, we're going to be right back, and I look forward to the next conversation we're about to have.
You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Gentlemen, welcome back to American Girl. I'm Matt Tardio. We got Brianna. She'll be in the studio in the next hour. She's racing in to get to you guys. But in the meantime, we have been covering this corrupt district attorney down in Austin, Texas, and the three police officers, the heroes that ended up putting down an Islamic jihadist that were shooting up a bar district, killing multiple people, wounding multiple this last weekend, are worried that they're going to end up facing a grand jury. And what we've been going over the last hour in the last segment of the show was how ridiculous this district attorney is when it goes down to just wanting to indict every single police officer he can get his hands on, because that's what he ran on. And in his liberal utopia, that's just what you can do. And apparently, underneath this district attorney's reign, you can just forget about what the law actually says. And to help bring some grab to this situation, I'm being joined by Douglas O'Connell. He is a retired special forces officer. Colonel, in fact, retired colonel, and the defense attorney for those three officers. Sir, thank you and welcome back.
Good to be with you.
All right, sir. So let's talk about this. You know, when I was in law enforcement, we pay our dues to the union, right? And then in cases like this, you know, they will front for that defense attorney. Is that how you came about this particular case?
Yeah, exactly. I have a long-standing relationship with the Austin Police Association. I represent their officers. I got to tell you, I'm incredibly flattered. You know, the cops are in the courthouse every day. They know which attorneys really fight for their clients. And the fact that they've picked me and my team to represent them is wildly flattering to me. It's an honor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a true testament, as a matter of fact, to have an entire police department get behind you, especially when you have a district attorney's office that is like this corrupt. And I can't even imagine what a pain in the butt that is for, you know, them to go about prosecuting cases and whatnot over there. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why those officers are so concerned. I don't know if you're able to listen to the entire show, but I went over a lot of the issues that I have with this particular DA. A lot of problems, witness tampering, you know, over 20 indictments, not a single one actually ended up, getting convicted, except for the one that we just talked about where the guy ends up getting acquitted. And when we have the detective that came out that said they are suppressing exculpatory information inside of the, grand juries, that's of great concern to me. And the detective even accused the DA's office of witness tampering.
Absolutely. And what you may not know, that particular homicide detective is legendary within the Austin Police Department. He served for, I want to say, 27 years. 17 of that was as a homicide detective. He had the highest closure rate in the department. He's a fabulous detective. After Garza tampered with him as a witness, he recognized that he couldn't function any longer as an Austin detective, and he retired, unfortunately. And he's now still serving as a law enforcement officer at the Attorney General's office.
That is absolutely insane. That's nuts. In a case like this where you have him write an affidavit that, I mean, it certainly appears to me like there'd be plenty of evidence to support this, like inculpatory evidence to support witness tampering. Who's looking into that? Has anybody looked into it?
No, we tried to get the Texas Rangers to look at it. But when you call the Texas Rangers and say, hey, I want to report a crime, it involves lawyers, their answer is you have to send that to your local district attorney, have them refer it to us. You can't refer directly to us. And so I was left in a situation of, you got to be kidding me. I'm trying to give you information about a crime that the district attorney perpetrated, and you're telling me the district attorney has to refer it to you? It was insanity.
Yeah. So the district attorney, the one who is underneath the crime, it should be is the one that's supposed to be referring it over to them. And then the crazy part is like, where's the FBI on this? Where's the Department of Justice looking into this guy? Because he's been running rogue. And this was the Daniel Perry indictment. I mean, this was a huge deal. Governor Abbott ended up overturning it. Governor Abbott even came out yesterday in response to what you put out and said that he is going to maintain. Yeah. He gets the final say in this. So good on him for doing that. I mean, I'm questioning, like, when is he going to put a wheel up this district attorney's butt? You know what I mean? Like, when is that going to actually happen? I think it's – go ahead.
You mentioned Daniel Perry. What you may not realize is this month we have to go back and have another trial on Daniel Perry. When he was indicted the first time, the grand jury returned two indictments. The second indictment was for deadly conduct, meaning texting while driving, right-hand turn without coming to a complete stop in his car, and driving into the mob. And so we have to have another trial, and it's going to kick off on March 23rd.
Holy crap. So this trial isn't even about shooting the guy in self-defense. This is just going down to his driving, going into the mob.
Traffic violations cobbled together to try to make an offense.
Are they making any offenses about any of the people that were standing out in the street? Are they grabbing those people and throwing up indictments their way? I mean, to me, that seems like, you know, law enforcement officers, we have what's called officer-induced jeopardy, where you don't get to stand in front of a motor vehicle and then claim that somebody tried to run you over and then shoot him in the face. You can't do that. So what about these protesters or these rioters, really, standing in the middle of the streets that he ended up driving into? Have they been looking for charges on any of those people?
All those cases were dismissed.
Oh, imagine that. Simple.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you dismiss those? Because the DA has what? Prosecutorial discretion, right? You're a former prosecutor, are you not, sir?
I am, yeah. I was an assistant county attorney here doing misdemeanors. Then I was an assistant DA, and then I went to the U.S. Attorney's Office where I was a federal prosecutor before entering private practice.
I mean, just on your opinion as a former prosecutor, how do you feel about the practices of this particular district attorney's office?
I don't agree with much of what they do. I personally don't feel like we should spend a lot of time and resources prosecuting, say, marijuana charges, unless it's a gigantic quantity or you're selling to children. But if you're smoking pot in your own house, not bothering anybody, I don't really want to spend. I don't think my tax dollars should be spent messing with something like that. And instead, we should focus on violent criminals.
Yeah, and I agree with that as a constitutionalist. It was something that, you know, me, when I was in law enforcement, whatever you do to your own body, I could really care less. But once you start talking about trafficking drugs, once you start talking about selling to children, once you start about doing those things, you start working your way into human trafficking and actual person's crimes. Like, they're all involved in that network. I completely and totally agree with you. Now, the district attorney, Jose Garza, decided it would be a good idea to write the Biden DOJ, from what I found, and request that they investigate the Austin Police Department for patterns of malpractice and mispractice. Do you think it's time to have the Trump DOJ look into this particular district attorney's office for their malpractice?
I think that'd be great. Unfortunately, I don't currently have a lot of confidence in the Trump DOJ. I don't see a lot of effort being waged in that department. I'm frustrated about a lot of different things, including the whole lack of an investigation about Epstein. That bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. The entire Epstein thing kind of ticks me off. And it seems to me that they're more about like their big political wins that they can get right now, you know, as far as thing goes, and blowing things way out of proportion in some cases. And I voted for the guy. you know, and, but I'm still very, very critical, you know, as I'm sure you are. We're critical thinkers, you know, that's just what we do. It's like you're psychologically screened to actually look at things and go, I can set my bias aside and decide whether or not this is right or whether or not this is wrong. And I believe in the criminal justice system. I also know that there's corrupt cops that do exist. I've seen it firsthand, but at the same time, this to me seems like a very big issue. You know, you're talking about Austin and Travis County. This is a massive area in Texas. Millions of people, right? Yeah. That's who this man is in charge of.
Yeah. And now, so keep in mind, he was reelected.
Right.
And unless something changes drastically, I think he can stay in office as long as he wants.
Well, right. But, you know, I have, you know, of the opinion, right, when it comes down to this, that suppressing exculpatory information, I understand grand juries are different than criminal trials, but what that detective was accusing him of was not just, you know, suppressing the information. It was legitimate witness tampering. Law enforcement officers, when they go to speak as witnesses on these trials, they're up there as witnesses for a reason. And law enforcement officers in their reports and in their witness statements and everything that they end up giving are required by law to give exculpatory information, not just the information that could get people convicted. And so him suppressing that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a massive problem. But one thing to keep in mind is in Texas, prosecutors don't have a legal obligation to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury. And one of the good things that came out of that tweet going viral is we're going to be talking with some legislators about grand jury reform.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to happen. It absolutely needs to happen before, you know, you have a rogue district attorney like this present a bunch of, you know, misleading statements and misleading evidence that would lead people to believe that they have probable cause to indict this person. And it's a shame that it's happening to our law enforcement officers. It's a damn shame. Are you comfortable speaking about Wren at all? And breaking
to some
that
degree,
down
sure. I'm not the real experts are the guys at Law Enforcement Legal Defense Foundation. They compiled a massive report that's well researched and full of citations, and so all their analysis is backed up by solid research. But I'm happy to talk to some degree.
That'd be great. So what I can find is that, you know, they are basically filled with like prior public defenders that are all about trying to like reform the system and get people off from charges like we were just talking about. Oh, they don't need to go to jail if they're a violent offender. Maybe they just need, you know, special treatment, things of that nature. So for some reason, they are all about helping out the people that are actually out there committing crimes. But when it comes to their agreement with the district attorney's office, it seems like they're about screwing over law enforcement.
Oh, I think they're very anti-law enforcement. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, it's my personal opinion that all the decisions being made in Travis County regarding law enforcement prosecutions are really being made by Wren Collective. They are directing actions to the district attorney's office.
Do we think that they are providing him with campaign funding, kickbacks, things of that nature in order to kind of control him? Or do we think it's just this radical ideology that's got them, you know, woven together in this manner?
Yeah, I believe what happens is they go out and find progressive candidates. They provide campaign donations and help get him elected. And I believe in the case of Jose Garza, the money goes back to George Soros. And so they help get a guy elected, and then he's obligated contractually to follow their lead and to hitch his wagon to their organization. And if he fails to comply with what they want, they will go out and find a different candidate to run against Garza.
Yeah, George Soros' name gets dropped as we start talking about corruption, right? We were talking earlier about, you know, being prior Green Berets and knowing how you shape the battlefield with information operations leading into it. And I feel like this is one of those times that absolutely happened down over in Austin. the vast majority of those indictments, at least from what I was able to find, that he had brought against those 20-something-odd officers were all due to use of force allegations during the George Floyd riots down there in Austin and the shooting that had to do with that Austin PD officer that we talked about. He actually mentioned it in his letter to the Biden DOJ specifically on what they wanted them to look into. And when he started his campaign, it certainly appeared as if he was running on the premise that he was going to go after, like corruption in law enforcement and transparency. And so when I start thinking about shaping the battlefield, that's what that kind of looks like to me. And you're prepping this as you're going into office. Your entire jury pool is essentially tainted because this guy is putting out all this information. And clearly the people inside Travis County agreed with him, ended up electing him if the elections weren't corrupt, and end up electing this man. And then his second day in office, he starts announcing that he's going to be going after these guys. And then less than a month later, cases before a grand jury. That doesn't seem like enough time to me to be able to properly look into this. That seems kind of like a targeted execution. And it almost seems like those guys are victims of a corrupt criminal justice system.
I think you're right. He, as a candidate, said that he would target Chris Taylor, Officer Chris Taylor, and then two Williamson County deputies that were involved with in a chase that ended in Travis County. And the chase ended because the guy that they were pursuing had a heart attack and died. And so he indicted the officers. He, as a candidate, before he'd ever seen a case file, decided those officers were guilty and ran on a platform of prosecuting them. And sure enough, he did. We talked about Chris Taylor's case being acquitted at Court of Appeals. We tried the Williamson County deputies, and they were acquitted at trial.
Because the driver had a heart
attack. I guess I should mention that during the Williamson County deputies' trial, we discovered that they had hidden that evidence from us, and the court actually sanctioned the district attorney's office for hiding evidence.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, please, sir? Did you just say they were hiding evidence? Exculpatory in nature, yes. I'm assuming.
Yes. So the decedent had an active warrant out for him, and they failed to turn that over to the defense, which was required by law. And so we brought that to the court's attention. The judge sanctioned the district attorney's office for failing to turn that evidence over.
And were they trying to use Fruit of the Poisonous Tree to go after these officers that they didn't have a reason to be going after them in the first place? Is that what they were trying to claim?
They were claiming, no, not really. They were claiming that, the officers, once the vehicle stopped and they were trying to take him into custody and he was resisting, they were trying to claim that they caused the death. That by tasing him and struggling with him to get him into handcuffs, somehow that was a crime.
That is asinine.
Yeah. That's you Google Javier Ambler, that's the case I'm talking about. That's the decedent's name.
Okay, so now we've got on the record during the show two cases of evidence being suppressed by the DA's office, witness tampering, etc. And the court actually, you said, found that they did suppress that evidence, that they didn't turn it over, that they're hiding it. Is that's correct? So now we've got two different cases here, and this guy's still running rogue. What is the end to this, sir? Like, how do we solve this problem?
I think, the resolution comes at the ballot box, unfortunately. And so we're going to be living with this DA for a minimum of two more years. And then hopefully some qualified candidate that has common sense emerges and is able to be competitive in that election.
So I'm going to ask you for your professional opinion, seeing how you were a prior prosecutor, both at the state and federal level, right? Or county and federal level. Have you, in your professional opinion, and it's okay if you don't want to answer the question, I understand why. But in your professional opinion, do you think that there is probable cause at this time to arrest the DA on any charges as far as this corruption goes that we're talking about? And if so, who would be the authority over that?
Yeah, so I'm not aware of anything at the moment, but there may be something that emerges in the future that would rise to the level of criminal conduct. But, you know, whether or not it would be so persuasive to get the federal authorities interested, I don't know.
Well, I would think that there's a bare minimum of some reasonable suspicion here for them to at least open up a case and start looking into this guy and figure out what's actually going on. And then if they end up coming across it, then okay. I mean, this district attorney himself, he said that he believes in the rule of law.
And I can tell you that that may have already happened and we'd never know about it because the feds, FBI, DOJ, they don't talk about investigations that are ongoing almost never.
Yeah. That's true, but it certainly seems like you brought up before that the Trump admin is kind of busy dealing with a bunch of other things right now that they really, I think, unless it's a big, you know, win over on social media, like how you ended up coming out, making that tweet, gets 2.something million views. And all of the sudden we've got it over on Fox News. We've got it on local news. We've got it everywhere. And so maybe in this case where we have an accusation from a very reputable individual, that he conducted witness tampering and directed his office to conduct witness tampering. That to me seems like there should be a huge investigation opened up by either, you know, the FBI or the DOJ.
I agree. But
that seems like criminal behavior.
I'm skeptical that we'll see that happen. As frustrating as it is.
Do you think that this man is going to continue to go after the police department? Do the officers feel like they're going to continue to get brought before grand juries on baseless cases? Or is there a huge fear going around of the Austin police right now?
So, you know, that's a good question for the Austin Police Association, but for the officers I talk to, absolutely. You know, you're a former cop. I think these guys, when they get dispatched to a call with somebody with a gun or some violent actors in the middle of committing a crime and they have to rush there, they got to be thinking that, you know, this could turn out with me being killed or me being indicted. And, you know, that's got to be stressful and it's got to add a layer of anxiety on what is already a very difficult job.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, sir, I want to thank you for coming in and giving your time. I know me as a prior law enforcement officer, I look at this and I'd be scared as hell. I mean, you're pretty much martyring yourself every time you respond to a man with a gun or man with a knife call going over there, depending on how the situation is going to turn out. Where can people find you? Maybe if there's officers within APD or within the local area that would like your assistance, where can they get a hold of you, sir?
Yeah, so our law firm website is O'ConnellWest.com, and our direct dial phone number is 512-547-7265. We don't just represent officers. We represent citizens accused of crimes as well.
Yeah, and in that district, or I'm sorry, in that county, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of them. Well, sir, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you for stopping in, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be taking phone calls from you. So start dialing right now. I want to hear what you guys have to think about all this evidence that we just threw out there.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at theAlexJonesStore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the 5-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexShowsCore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexShowsCore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowsCore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowsCore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue, or our Bovine Colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend, special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. I am Matt Tardio, filling in for you guys. If you guys like what I presented for you, go follow me over on X at AngerTab. I originally said that we're going to do some call-ins, but it turns out that Tim Walz and his attorney general are over at the House Oversight Committee looking into Minnesota fraud. And we are going to be going to that live in just a sec, right after I tell you guys that Brianna is currently racing her way into the studio with Tommy Robinson. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for that interview, because it is going to be a good one. It is going to be great. I promise you that. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, let's go ahead and go over to the House Oversight hearing on Tim Walz and his fraud.
Attorney General Ellison, you stated in your opening statement that you sort of stated that your office only has direct jurisdiction over Medicaid fraud. Did you say that in your opening statement? Okay, well, you seem to indicate that you don't have, like, criminal authority, but you do, don't you? Under your own law, you have authority if the county district attorney asks you to get involved, or if the governor asks you to get involved, then your office can take lead on any criminal investigation, specifically if you have particular staffing and capabilities within your office, because it's statewide, to look into organized crime. Is that not correct? Okay, so you have the authority to lead your state's effort to respond to this massive fraud at the state level from within the healthcare realm where government money is being stolen at very, very high levels, unprecedented levels in your state. Are you leading that effort for the state of Minnesota? You're addressing it. Are you leading it? Are you leading the effort?
We are leading the effort to prosecute Medicaid fraud in Minnesota.
I'm not talking about Medicaid fraud. Don't hide behind that. You have the authority to prosecute anything criminally that the governor asks you to. And this thing is big. I'm giving you an opportunity, sir. Are you leading the criminal investigative effort into this massive fraud across the board in the healthcare spectrum in the state of Minnesota or not?
We are following the law. And
you are not leading. You're not leading. I'm going to say, Mr. Chairman, that the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota should resign. I yield.
Thank you. Gentleman yields back. Before I recognize Mr. Frost, I want to, Mr. Walkinshaw, you were right. She's not testifying in Homeland Security. Kristi Noem's testifying in Judiciary. I knew she was here somewhere today. So that was, you were right. I misstated the wrong committee. Chair now recognizes Mr. Frost from Florida.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I have unanimous consent called Fraud Focus. Why is Trump granting clemency to convicted fraudsters?
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you all for being here. The whole world has witnessed unprecedented and extreme immigration enforcement tactics this year in Minnesota. After the murder of Renee Nicole Good and before the murder of Alex Preddy, President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social that, quote, the day of reckoning and retribution is coming. Governor Walz, the dictionary defines retribution as punishment inflicted on someone as vengeance for a wrong or criminal act. Based on what we've seen play out in Minneapolis, what is the problem with the President of the United States directing agents to carry out retribution?
Well, yeah, thank you. And this is certainly troubling because under the guise of fraud, which we all want to tackle, we were subject to, as you saw, the largest invasion of a state by the federal government. I don't know, certainly any of our lifetimes. And that infliction, to me, we're trying to figure it out. Look, we'll acknowledge and we're fixing it in Minnesota. But I'm telling you, each year you're going to go back to your state. And if some of you think you want to be governor, you're going to deal with this. And these folks keep moving. The problem is, Congressman, this was about retribution. This was about singling out Minnesota. And I think I'm going to just name it. I think it's singling out because our state works and it provides things for people and we care and we mind our own business and we respect our neighbors.
Right. Yeah. Of course, Tim Walz is going to have issues when it comes down to retribution because God forbid the Trump DOJ actually enforced the law. He called it an invasion of his state, an invasion. Last I checked, the only thing your state's been invaded by is illegal immigrants. You can't invade a state that you have a lawful right to be in as a federal agent. And the only reason you have so many illegal immigrants in there is because you allowed them in with your sanctuary city policies. And then we can add on top of that, throwing out the slanderous language of murder over inside the halls of Congress. Well, those people weren't murdered. They were violent criminals. Violent criminals. And everything that they are accusing this law enforcement of doing is 1,000% backed by case law and self-defense laws. It's absolutely preposterous. Of course, Tim Walz is going to end up throwing up a freaking softball pitch and they're going to use it as an example to do whatever the hell they want. Of course. This is like bombing Iran and ignoring the Epstein files, right? Like, why talk about fraud when we can talk about an invasion of our state, for crying out loud? Oh, my Lord. All right, let's go back into the madness.
In Minnesota is because of our Constitution and the right to be able to record law enforcement and federal agents. Those videos and the videotapes have been in part the reason why we know what's going on. Trump administration officials have suggested that observing or identifying federal agents is, quote, doxing or, quote, assault. We know federal agents have followed observers to their homes. We know protesters have been pepper sprayed. We know people have been violently detained who were filming them without bystanders having cameras who know how the murders of Renee Nicole Good and Alex Preddy by ICE agents would have been handled by this administration. They have already tried to lie about these murders, even with footage. After Alex Preddy was murdered, Stephen Miller said he was, quote, a domestic terrorist who tried to, quote, assassinate federal law enforcement. Kristi Noem said that he committed an act of domestic terrorism, and the President of the United States said that he was an agitator and perhaps an insurrectionist.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and respond to that,
too. The last thing I want to get to that I think...
Yeah, of course he's labeled as a domestic terrorist. Let's talk about terrorism and what the actual definition of terrorism is. I might know this as a counterterrorism expert. Using fear, intimidation, coercion, or control to push a political or ideological agenda. What the hell do you think is going on the streets of Minneapolis right now? They're pushing their own political and ideological agenda on the streets out there, and they are using fear and intimidation in order to do it. We watched it happen. Not just with law enforcement officials on the ground out there, but with all of the reporters out there. To hell with the left-leaning ones, for crying out loud. They're going to be nice to them, and they're going to blow their whistles. They're going to do whatever they want. But he was a domestic terrorist. Period. Alex Preddy. Renee Good. Same thing. You're going after, you're chasing down these law enforcement officers, you're obstructing justice, and then you take a freaking multiple thousand-pound automobile and you wield it in the direction of law enforcement. Why do you think they're doing that? Do you think they're doing that so that everybody can sit back? No, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing it for fear and intimidation to push their political and or ideological agenda. And this is the same type of crap that we were just talking about going on down over inside of Travis County with the district attorney down there. Using skirting laws, hiding, suppressing evidence to push their political and ideological agenda. In my opinion, that's domestic terrorism. Only it's coming from the government. That's oppression. The people of Austin are being oppressed. That's the crazy part about all this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to call in. We're going to be taking calls here in the next, 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to keep listening to this hearing. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead, call in. Let's go back over and start listening back to the madness that's taking place in the halls of Congress.
Without objection, so ordered. Chair now recognizes Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being here today. Governor Walz and Attorney General Ellison, you have presided over one of the worst government fraud scandals in American history. This was money intended to feed hungry children, help kids with autism, provide food and shelter and health care to the needy, and more. You both allowed billions in these American taxpayer dollars to be pillaged and plundered by Somali pirates. You knew this was happening. You chose to do nothing about it, and in some cases, you even enabled it. Attorney General Ellison, you even profited from this fraud by taking campaign donations from these Somalians after pledging to help quash the investigation into them. I find your behavior despicable. My questions this morning, my first go to Governor Walz, and I hope you learned some lessons from your last hearing with me on the Oversight Committee. Have you learned anything since
I did then? That if I didn't speak up, two of my people would be dead, Congresswoman, and I warned you.
Okay, Miss Governor Walz, what is a woman? Have you learned that lesson? Do you know what a woman is?
I'm the governor of Minnesota, Congressman.
You know what
I'm not here
is.
To be your prop for
okay.
your obsession.
So
I
if you can't define what a woman is, you certainly can't define what fraud is. If you can't even define what a woman is, you can't define fraud. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2017, Governor?
I don't have those numbers in front
okay.
of me, Congressman.
Did you prepare for this hearing today?
I take Congress seriously.
And you've seen the numbers about autism fraud in Minnesota. So we're going to do some Minnesota math with you today, okay? Are you ready? How much money was spent on 2017 for autism in Minnesota? How much?
I don't know. I wasn't the governor.
Okay. Did you not just say that you prepared for this hearing today? $1 million, okay? A quick Google search or using your AI could tell you $1 million was spent. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2024?
I don't have the number in front of me. As
were you governor in 2024?
I was, but I'm not the
okay,
head
so
of the
your excuse
head.
Before that you didn't know what 2017 autism numbers were because you were not governor, and today you can't answer the numbers about 2024 as governor, and you still said you prepared for this hearing today. It's unbelievable. $343 million. Was spent in 2024. What percent increase is that from 1 million to 343 million? What percentage increase is that?
I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell me.
Are you governor of Minnesota or not?
Yes, I am. I'm not a governor of South Carolina.
You can sure as hell bet that I'm going to know the math. The math is 34,200% increase, an increase of 343 times what it was in this time period. Do you know the number of children in Minnesota?
I know that Minnesota ranked as a top three state for children in the last year.
What is the total population in Minnesota?
5.7 million.
Okay. What is the total population of children in Minnesota?
I don't have the number in front of me right now.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I know 400,000 were cut out of health care last week by the decisions you made.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I am.
And you don't know the number of children residing in Minnesota?
I don't have the specific number. 5.7 million.
That's your total population.
What is your age? What is the age? 0 to 5? 0 to 19?
You have approximately 1.2 million children in Minnesota.
What
age? I'm not even governor of South Carolina. Our population in South Carolina is 5.5 million. We have approximately 1.1 million children under the age of 18 in my home state of South Carolina, okay? As governor, I expect you to know this information. Thank God you're not vice president of the United States. Do you know approximately how many children in Minnesota are autistic or on the spectrum?
No, I don't have that number.
Okay. Well, if you take the CDC's roughly 1 in 36 kids are on the spectrum, we're talking about approximately 33,000 kids. In South Carolina, it's about 31,000 or so. What is, do you know what this is per child spending-wise in the fraud for autistic kids in Minnesota?
Again, I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell
us. Is doing Minnesota math a prop? This is math. We're talking about fraud.
Minnesota ranks at the top. Where does South Carolina rank?
We're talking about money.
Where does South Carolina children rank on healthiness?
These are my questions for you. It doesn't go the other way around unless we're debating on the debate stage. And we're not.
If you're asking questions about being governor, it does.
I'm asking you questions about being governor of Minnesota, which you can't answer. This is basic math.
Do you guys have anybody calling?
And you can't even answer. Do you even care about kids in Minnesota?
They rank near the top in every category. My children are fed. My children are housed. My children have health care.
Getting the services they need in Minnesota.
My children have the best schools.
No, you don't. Mr. Chairman, I yield back. Mr. Chairman.
Gentlelady yields back.
Mr. Chairman.
Who's, Ms. Mulbert? Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Ms. Mace.
May I make my two motions?
Proceed.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee issue a subpoena to the Honorable Pamela Jo Bondi to appear before the committee for a deposition regarding the department's handling of the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein and his associates and compliance with the Epstein Files Transparency Act.
A motion has been made. The committee will hold this motion in advance until the end of today's hearing. The committee will now proceed with today's hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee issue a subpoena to the Office of Congressional Workplace Rights for the awards and settlements paid pursuant to Section 415 of the Congressional Accountability Act prior to December 12, 2018, with only redactions allowable for the personally identifiable information of victims, alleged victims, and witnesses. Thank you, ma'am.
A motion has been made. The committee will hold this motion in abeyance until the end of today's hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I seek unanimous consent.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, can I have one thing before?
Chair recognizes the ranking member.
Thank you. No, we'd just like to see Mrs. Mace's motions in writing, which would be great.
Okay. Now, before I recognize Ms. Lee, do you have Ms. Randall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record of December 11th, 2025 article from The Guardian titled "Somalis Are the Scapegoat. Fear Rises as Trump Targets Minneapolis Community," which describes
without objection,
administration's xenophobic attacks.
Without objection, ordered. Chair recognizes Ms. Lee from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the past few months, Democrats on this committee and in the Senate have been holding hearings on the unconstitutional actions of the Trump administration. So we've heard from, in that time, whistleblowers, industry experts, and survivors of abuses of federal agents. They spoke about warrantless searches that they have been subjected to, including federal agents bursting into their homes with guns. They spoke about being shot at and dragged out of their cars, and then, you know, being made to look like they were actually the perpetrators. They spoke about federal agents' use of masks and unmarked vehicles, and the efforts of these agents to hide their identity to escape any sort of accountability. And we heard from the brother of Renee Good, who was murdered by ICE agents in Minneapolis. That is what oversight looks like. Not two hearings on fraud in one single state. which is not even the worst instance of fraud out there, though we all here agree that we should target fraud. Republicans have dragged Governor Walz in again to demonize and target his state because he is a Democratic governor and he is implementing Democratic policies.
And then we'll go to Josh first. Let me know when I'm good.
A random guy. I'm ready to jump back in
and comment on this madness, and then we'll take a couple calls, and then I should be able to close out.
Been vilified and made to feel unsafe, and federal benefits are being cut to Minnesota and other Democrat-led states.
Trump's administration. For the love of God, for the love of God, did she just seriously accuse people of conducting warrantless searches? Does this woman who's sitting here on the House Oversight Committee that just legitimately said that their job is the Oversight Committee, and she doesn't even know that law enforcement officers can, in fact, conduct warrantless searches based on probable cause, based on exigency, based on a lot of different reasons they can conduct warrantless searches and seizures. They can also enter your home based on exigency. There's lots of different reasons for that to actually go down. And yet these people are the ones that are on our House Oversight Committee that are grilling our freaking government. Like, no wonder our government's screwed. No wonder we have all, like, billions of dollars worth of fraud going into Minnesota. No wonder. The people that are supposed to be in charge of oversight don't even know what the hell they're talking about when they're sitting up there complaining about everything, misclassifying everything under the sun. It's absurd. It's nuts. I'm over it. I'm over, like, the mischaracterization, over-inflammatory statements. Like, when the hell are they going to get anything done in our government? When are they going to actually pass laws that we care about, for crying out loud? Clearly, Tim Walz is incompetent. Freaking get rid of him. Bring him up on charges or call it a day, but stop wasting our taxpayer money on a bunch of bullshit because we have much better things to do with our time. We have a war going on. Six Americans have been killed. We have people down in Austin that are being oppressed. We have a massive invasion of our border. The last time I was on here, I think it was hosting War Room. I ended up talking about how the U.S. border inside of California was completely and totally unsecure. That there was actually uniformed members, or at least what appeared to be uniformed members of the Mexican military across the southern border into California. Corey from the GOAT Initiative ended up coming on here and talking to us about it. Provided me with the camera footage, but we had to not look into it any further and not talk about it any further because DHS was launching an investigation. That seems to me to be like a much bigger problem. I don't think the American people need any more convincing that Tim Walz is retarded. I think the American people need more convincing that our government is actually doing what it's supposed to do, especially because it just continuously gets shut down. Got Josh from North Carolina on the phone. I want to bring him in, get his comments on the situation. Josh, go ahead, sir.
Oh, man, I just love listening to you, man. You're hilarious, bro. Tim Walz is retarded. Let's just all agree on that. But for real, when he started to talk, I thought he was kind of snitching on the federal government as far as Biden regime goes. Like, he was talking about the invasion. My thought went straight to the illegal immigration invasion. I thought it was like, oh, talking about them that brought in, like his sanctuary city policies. Like, well, like, it wasn't them that printed those maps. That's what the point that came to mind when I thought heard it. Like, it was the Red Cross maps, if I do believe. Like, this thing was an invasion, like, on a massive scale. He's trying to, like, dance around it, man. But we're all too smart for that. But I think what you were saying earlier with your story is what I really wanted to call in about is, like, a very valid question you kind of asked is, what do we the people do when evil people do, in fact, weasel their way into the seats that we hope prosecute evil people? What do we do when that is compromised? What, like, is there a plan? Like, we need to know that question just as a civil matter, actually. And I'll go to the next caller and leave it at that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like, you know, and traditionally, to answer your question, sir, appreciate you calling in. You know, traditionally what you end up doing is you have, you know, oversight that actually looks into it, either the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the DOJ, or like that attorney had brought up, Mr. O'Connell, had he said that they had like reached out to the Texas Rangers. But the problem is that the person being accused of the crime, the district attorney's office for Travis County, is the one that's supposed to refer it to the Texas Rangers. And so they're stuck in this loop of retardation and nobody's doing anything about it. Freaking waste of time. James from Indiana is on the line as well. He wants to talk to us about some corruption. James, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm glad you're covering the corruption of the DA's office. This is a national problem. I mean, in Indiana, a while back ago, there was an article that came out. It was called Prosecutors Accuse One Another. The U.S. Attorney's Office was rigging cases to put people on death row. That is how corrupt this is. Not only are they not getting warrants, they'll just go into people's accounts and change and alter stuff. You have problems with the Inspector General's office that Trump fired a lot of. They put out statements in Indiana targeting veterans for speaking out. And you also, if you look at Sound Investigations that was targeting Alex Jones, they also said that they were looking into the people that follow Alex Jones. So these court cases are rigged. They just target people in this country. It's absolutely disgusting, and something needs to change.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. And I just wrote down Indiana corruption targeting vets. That's one I haven't heard about. That's a quick way to piss me off. Yeah, you're absolutely correct when it goes down to this, and that you know, things absolutely need done about it. How are you about to have this level of corruption take place and nothing, literally nothing's being done? Literally.
And there's another big article to check out. It's called DOJ Gone Wild. That was actually put out by Fox. It's about the U.S. Attorney's Office committing crimes and it all getting pushed under the rug. I mean, you've had numerous problems with the Inspector General's office covering stuff up, illegally targeting people. There was an Inspector General's report of the U.S. Attorney's Office committing rapes, the CIA's committing rapes. I know a lot of them are probably false allegations because a lot of that comes out too. But a lot of it gets swept under the rug. But then, you know, they'll throw somebody in the corner smoking a joint in prison for so many years. It's just the two-tier justice system in this country is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and it absolutely depends on where you end up getting charges brought against you. You know, like that grand jury reform that he's talking about that needs to take place over in Texas is a very serious problem. Grand juries themselves, in my opinion, are a pretty dang serious problem because there's no defense that's actually presented there. And it certainly seems like you are stacking your deck when it comes to jury selection, the jury pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they spend so long doing it. And when they put out this amount of false information, they can convince people before they even go into court. And then those people can lie and say, no, I've never heard anything about it. No, I would totally take it into consideration. Like, I want you to think about the amount of people that you cuss at driving down the street that you look at and you're like, that guy's retarded and that guy's retarded and that guy's retarded. How many people are you angry at on a daily basis driving down the street? That's your jury pool. Those are the people that are going to be judging you. Those ones. Not the competent ones that figured out how to get out of your jury duty. Now, that's not everybody that goes on to jury duty. Some people feel as if it's their civic duty and they're going to go over and do it. But for crying out loud, I would not rather be judged by 12 a lot of the time. That's just absurd. People are stupid in this country. Got access to more information right now than Ronald Reagan did when he was president. Readily available to you. And yet we're so stupid. Can't even have a House Oversight Committee that's what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. Brianna's coming up next, bringing in her special guest, Tommy Robinson. Get ready for that interview because it is going to be a good one. You're not going to want to miss it. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Peace, love, happiness. God bless. I'm out.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheUltraStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people, that caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was using
you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about
it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal Third Hour of the program. It is I, Brianna Morello. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Thank you to Matt Tardio for holding down the fort for the last 2 hours. It was quite the extensive drive after spending the night over at Ken Paxton's party last night. Many of you guys probably saw. He is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, the Rhino, who has obviously been holding down that Senate seat that we were going to pry away from his hands. So it was quite the adventure. But it was interesting being in Dallas because, well, I happened to see a friend of mine. He's come in from across the pond, and joining me now to discuss is Tommy Robinson in studio. Tommy, welcome to Texas.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. It's been quite the adventure so far for our audience. You know, we had Matt Tardio filling in for me yesterday, or for, I guess I should say, the last 2 hours. And you and I made the adventure last night. We were with Ken Paxton. You had the honor of meeting Ken Paxton yesterday, election night for the primaries, at least. He is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, who we call a rhino over here. He's just a Republican by name at this point. He is not a actual Republican. He doesn't represent conservative values. And, you know, Ken's looking to replace him. You were able to briefly speak with Ken. What was that like yesterday?
I'd looked up Ken, and I'd seen that he'd stood by Donald Trump. And he didn't just stand by Donald Trump, but he used his ability as an attorney general with his legal history to attempt to highlight, which was a rarity at the time. Remember, when that election was stolen, how many people actually stood up? How many people within the Republican Party stood up? He stood up, so I know he's a man of loyalty to Donald Trump. I know he's a man of truth. So, and then I looked at what he faced. And he seemed to have faced relentless court attempts, attempts to impeach, attempts to discredit, all of which he seems to have come through. I saw that his campaign, he spent $4 million, and his opposition spent $100 million. And I think that it seems to be, well, I've come to America asking questions about the Islamization. I'm very shocked at how upfront and how honest the Muslims are in America about their intentions. Because they were more quiet when they first come to UK. You've only got 1%. They say we've got 6. We've probably got at least 10%, yeah? But they were more quiet. But they don't seem to be doing that here. I looked at Epic City before I'd come. So I come to Texas. Obviously, we think of Texas and we think cowboys. We think steak. We think we've got all this vision of barbecues. And I come to Texas and ended up in, is it Plano?
Yes, Plano, Texas.
Ended up in Plano and thought I was in Baghdad. Yeah, I just thought I was back home in Luton. So the problems that are here, and then I've looked at Texas, 330 mosques, up from nearly 200 in 5 years. I'm just not sure America understands what's happening and how big this is going to go.
Yeah.
And how much of a issue this is going to be for the future of the United States. Britain's gone. Many areas are never coming back. And Germany and France and Sweden and the crime statistics and the problems that are being imported in. So to Americans, it's like, you had immigration from Hispanic nations, and there was a lot of noise made about it, which I understand. Mm. But you have no idea what Joe Biden's just done.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what he's done. You have no idea what's coming when he opens your borders to 10 million at least of Eritreans, of Pakistanis, Somalians, Iraqis, Syrians. It's an alien culture, and it's a hostile, violent community that have been imported into your nation. And I went to see the mosque. This huge...
Epic, yeah.
Epic mosque. Not that they want to build one bigger, but this in Texas. And then as I was there, I approached the mosque, and I was told by a Muslim, I thought he looked like a police officer, come out, he had his firearm, he come out, what are you doing here? I just said, just here to ask some questions, here to have a look, can I speak to your imam? Imam's not here. Car park's half full, the imam's not there. I said, where's the imam? Is anyone here I can ask a couple of questions? You need to leave this land. So I've just been over to a church, because I've just been to the church. No one's asked me, I haven't had anyone coming out to me in this way. I haven't had anyone tell me I can't film. I haven't had anyone telling me I have to leave this private property. What's the problem? What's the issue? So then I left because they asked me to leave, and then I went to there's two roads either side of this mosque, which is Medina Villas. So the road's called Medina Villas. And obviously to anyone who's looked into this, which I guess a lot of your viewers have, they wanted to build this new city, which is an enclave. And in this enclave, they wish to name the roads after Islamic conquerors.
Yeah.
Not after peacemakers, not after reformists, but Islamic conquerors. So for me to see this is the start. And what I've met influencers, I've met YouTubers, I've met politicians. I wanted to meet everyday Americans. I've had quite a few reach out to me. So I had a lovely couple, a lady called Abby and her husband, who reached out to me. They're based in Dallas, and she talked to me about some of the problems. So I went to meet her. I went to meet her yesterday, and her grandmother had lived in Plano, her mother had lived in Plano, she'd lived in Plano, and now she's had to flee, and she breaks down crying. So the video we're working on now, she breaks down and she's crying her eyes out and she's emotional. She was harassed by a Muslim migrant. She said that as the houses were coming for sale within the area, obviously it's all Muslim migrant, all Muslims coming in and buying them. But then she was intimidated at her own home by one of these men continually every day. And in the end, she made the decision that she just had to leave. Now that, what you're witnessing there, I've seen this. I'm from Luton Town, yeah? Now, it starts off, she said that they knock on the neighbour's doors, and this is what they do. They'll knock on the door, we want to buy your house. Say the house is worth 400, we'll give you 500.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually quite nice of them. Because where I'm from, they just smash your house up. Until you're in a position where you just need to get out of there. And anyone can watch my presentation. I gave a presentation to Oxford University at the Oxford Union where I showed 67 attacks against old age pensioners houses, British old age pensioners houses, smashed up, obliterated. One of the couples, 88 years old, they don't even bother repairing their windows. Because if they repair their windows, they just get smashed again. So they live in a boarded up home. And the reason for that is that the Muslim community want them gone because they're creating this enclave. Now they put in plans for their own one here. And then we see what is called white flight, which is what this lady and her husband have done, is they flee and they move to another area. And then you have an entire ghetto area, an entire enclave. I went into the shops. You know there's a load of new shops?
Yeah.
I went into the shops and there's a whole row of these shops. It's next to a church. So warning, that's not going to be a church for long.
Yeah.
A few years, that's a mosque. Yeah, 100%. Okay, this is which I've seen, and to the rest of the United States, to the rest of Texas, this is a blueprint. My hometown was a blueprint. I started talking about what happened in my town 15, 20 years ago, and everyone hated me. And now they see it, because everything I said is now in their town.
Yeah.
So you might think it's not in your town today. It's coming. And they're preparing for the future with the mosque applications, with the money, the Qatari money, the Iranian money, the Saudi money that's all flooding in. It doesn't teach integration or assimilation.
Yeah.
It's domination.
Yeah.
You need to really get your heads around it and understand this difference and understand what's now here. And then I went into the shops and I just said, they're all nice, beautiful, brand new shops, but they're not for you, Texans. They're not for you, Christians. So there's not going to be anywhere for you to shop unless you shop in their shops. And when you go in their shops, as I went in yesterday, I said, is there anything non-halal in here? No. What do I do then? If I live around that corner and I want to buy something, where am I buying from? So I went into the lady shop. If you're a lady in that area, okay, it's all workers. It's all Islamic garb. Went to the next shop, again, it's all Islamic. I went to the next shop, it's all Islamic. Now that, I know you don't see it, but I don't know if you understand. And this lady gave a very good representation, so I'm looking forward to getting her video out so Americans can listen to her. You don't need to listen to me now. Yeah? I thought I'd be coming here giving you a warning saying, America, look, I've seen what's happened. First place I've been where I spoke, reached out to the American public, they're telling me the same story. The identical story to what I've seen in my hometown. Now, all the problems I've seen, like these rape gangs, they're here. Trust me. They're here. Wherever there's Islamic community, they're raping. And they're taking, they're kidnapping. And again, I can sit here and spew all the statistics because some people don't like them. Even if you look at, so as Americans, how many did Joe Biden look in? You tell me how many.
They will report to us about 11 million. So I usually say double it.
So if you say double it, just say it's 11. So let's say it's 11. Yeah. Germany let in a million. So Germany lets in 1 million. You've let in 11 million. Germany let in 1 million Syrians. Now, out of those Syrians, when they let them in, at 2015, 16, look at the rape figures from 2017 to 2022 in Germany. Rapes went up 45%. Yeah? 45%. 56 or might be 58, might be wrong, it's 56 or 58% of the rapes last year in Germany were by Muslim migrants. Yeah? They only make up about 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. So is it a price worth paying to open your borders? You've had 10 million come in. Yeah? Germany let a million in. I've told you the rape statistics there. Sweden, let's look at Sweden. 63% of the rapes last year, Muslim migrants. 63%. Now, this is 63% of rapes that just didn't have to happen because Muslim migrants shouldn't be there. The same in Germany. If we look in the UK, 90% of the convictions for rape, groups of men that rape children, are Muslim men. 30% are called Muhammad. 90% from a 3% population, because that's all Muslim men make up in the UK. 77% of the rapes last year in Paris were Muslim migrants. 77%. So all of these problems and these rapes, it didn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. I understand you're a nation of immigrants. You open your borders, you let people in who are skilled, who come to assimilate, immigrate and benefit. Well, that's not what you've done. That's not what Joe Biden's done. Now, if you look at Minnesota, if you look at the Somali community, well, how are they benefiting the United States of America? We can look, and there's studies now, so no one can claim they didn't know. There's so many studies. Denmark done a study looking at the migrants that come in. You can find this study. And then not just looking at the migrants, but looking at the second generation and the third generation. Nothing changes. They all remain reliant on the state. They don't work. Criminal activity, like Afghans, 22 times more likely to be involved in a sexual assault. When it comes to criminal activity, rape statistics in the UK from 2003 to 2000, I have to tell you these statistics because you have to look. 2003 to 2023, our rape stats went from 8,800 to 88,000 rapes. Sweden from 1975, there was 365 rapes. Last year was 32,000. Like, do you know how many rapes there were last year? So we had 88,000. Do you know how many there were in Poland? Less than 500. Mm-hmm. In Hungary, I think 650. So these are the questions you need to ask yourself. And then you need to look at your politicians and ask, that's why Ken Paxton, you need to look at your politicians and ask, who's brave enough to have this discussion?
Yeah.
Because it's a discussion you're going to have. Who's brave enough to actually stand up and speak truth to power on this subject? Not be worried, not be coward, not be scared of being called an Islamophobe, because that's what disabled an entire nation of British men. An entire nation was disabled through the fear and paralysed through the fear and worry of being called racist, extremist, all these things. People were worried about losing their job. It's like an invading army have come into a country, raped their way through it, whilst everyone just, I've got my job. Oh, don't want to be called a racist, do I? It's the darkest stain on British history, these rapes, but I see in America, that's why Ken Paxton, if you look at what he spoke about previously, if you look at what he's trying to do, and it's far, and when I spoke to him last night, unless you have a coordinated effort from one end of the United States to the other, so you can have a brave gentleman like Ken Paxton, you can have some brave politicians in Texas, or you can have brave politicians in Florida. I've met a few, since I've been here, congressmen. You've got a caucus now of, I think, over 42 congressmen. If your congressman is not part of the caucus against Sharia, then you need to contact them and ask them why they're not.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What 95%, I think, last night of Texans asked want to ban Sharia? Now, that is an overwhelming majority, clearly, from people voting in the primaries, but what that should do is give courage to all other Republicans to realise this is a hot topic that the public feel very passionately and very strongly about. I'd say yesterday was a bit of a referendum. I don't know everything, so I'm not aware of every point of your politics, but from the outside in, when I look at the 95%, when I look at Ken Paxton with 4 million, him with 100 million, and they're neck at neck, if it was a fair balanced fight in funding, well, Ken Paxton would have smashed it, yeah? He had the other gentleman, who's a rhino.
Sean Cuarno.
Yeah. Had, and you have to understand, you have to look at these people as traitors now. That's how you have to look at them.
Yeah.
They're traitors. Because they might start trying to ride the wave as they see people talking about this issue. But they're selling you out. They're absolutely selling out Texas. You're at a crossroads, America. You either go down the same path as Western Europe, or you follow the path of Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe has remained safe. It's remained with their laws because they protected their borders and they refused to allow mass immigration of migrants into their country. Now, people might want to call you names like they do Donald Trump. But your women won't be getting raped and pillaged like the rest of Europe's. And you know, if we add even just the basic things, like I see when Donald Trump done his Muslim ban, they called it a Muslim ban, it wasn't a Muslim ban. When he done his ban in 2016, there was a hell of a lot of critique aimed at him from our country, from around the world. Mm-hmm. If our country would have had that ban, Salman Abedi, who could recite the Quran without looking at it, whose father was a terrorist, he flew to Libya from the city of Manchester, which is our northern capital of England, really. It's our London, but up the north. He flew to Libya. He got weapons training, bomb training, and he come back and blew up 26 kids at the Ariana Grande concert. 26 dead. He wouldn't have been able to do that if we had that simple ban. So, but they're not bothered about 26 kids dying because they don't want to be deemed as some sort of racist. And 280 more civilians, not military, not police, not anything, civilians would be alive in Europe if we simply just had the ban that Donald Trump put in. So when Donald Trump makes these decisions, some people may get upset because many people just want to be loving and be nice to everyone. You can't be. You can't be nice to people who want to kill you. You can't take the risk. Some of them might be nice. Yeah, well, some of them ain't going to be. Some of them are going to kill you. So if we had an ICE, we need an ICE. Europe needs it. But you see, if we had an ICE now, just so you understand where Europe's at, if we had any sort of organisation like that who are rounding up the illegals, which they need to do, the whole of Europe will burn. Trust me. The minute a political party gets into power in a European nation that tries to implement the law against the Islamic community, they're going to burn. They're going to burn Europe. That's it. And that is what everyone is so scared of. That's why you've just seen with Keir Starmer has betrayed America. He's betrayed, and it's embarrassing for us.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing as a British citizen to see such weak, coward leadership. I mean, you can't even use the word leader in that sentence, can you? But Macron... Now, these two nations, just look at Britain and look at France, recognise the Palestinian state during the conflict with Israel because they're cucking to the Muslim community who are hostile and aggressive and violent and they need them for their votes, and right now didn't side with the United States to take out one of the most Islamic mullah regimes and supremacist mindsets in the world who fund every terrorist organisation. They didn't stand with America. Now, whether you agree with the conflict or not, America's our allies. They've gone to war, yeah? You've got a decision to make. Do we stand with America or do we stand by and let this happen? And if by letting it happen, you put America in a worse position, you put freedom in a worse position, so you give less of a chance of the quicker victory. So there was a decision to be made. And our politicians made a decision to stand with the mullahs. That's how I see it.
I want to play this clip because you posted this on X, clip 7, because this is Keir Starmer specifically talking to, I believe it looks like it's in a mosque or maybe an Islamic center, but he's talking to these Muslims and bragging about not being involved in Iran. Take a listen.
But on Iran, I want to make clear, the UK was not involved in the offensive strikes of the US and Israel. And that remains the case.
He's bragging about it there. Now, the vast majority of Americans don't support what's going on right now between the United States and Iran, and then also jumping on board with Israel and all of this. That's, I mean, we talked to our audience, we were taking calls all day, and that was the majority of them. But I just want to get to the point that he's trying to make, because it's not even, for me, I just kind of step away from it. I'm watching Keir Starmer go out there and coddle these Muslims, and I think it's out of fear. I think he fears these people, and that's the reason why he was, you know, speaking to them and saying, listen, we had no part in this, because he's afraid that they might retaliate against him.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of Americans knew what it was like to live with vast majority of Islamic communities. They'd understand what Trump's doing. That's what I think. I know that might not go down too well with an audience, but I don't think people understand the hatred, the venom, and what the Iranian regime represents, whether it be death to America. They're promoting death to America. They're promoting anti-Western values around the globe. They're funding every terrorist attack. I think we had 12 Iranian-funded plots against our nation stopped. Mm-hmm. They've funded wars against American, killing American troops, attacking American ships, embarrassing, humiliating the American Navy, took billions of pounds off Barack Obama. The whole same axis of evil that's coming from Barack Obama, when Barack Obama's false governments were in bed with Iran. Iran despise you. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, if they do, and don't think of this logically, because they're not logical. They're jihadists. They are absolute jihadists. So if they could have people think, well, they wouldn't fire a nuclear weapon at us because we'd fire one back and we'd blow their whole nation up. Yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah, they'd be quite happy with that because they're going up there in their mindset. That's where they're going. So I've been surrounded my whole life by this jihadist mindset. And I understand that the money that's coming from there funds the Muslim Brotherhood, funds all these organizations which are intent on the Islamization of our nation, in changing the demographic of our nation, of all of these things. So I despise Iran. I also look, and Iran is not Afghanistan. It's just not. 99% of Afghanis want Sharia law. You take out the Taliban, they're coming back. They're coming back because that's the law of the land. They want it. They want Sharia. Same with Iraq. They want it. They want the slavery. They don't want the freedom. Persian people, since the Islamic Revolution, have had a boot on their neck. They're not Muslim. It's like, say, for example, in Britain, it's like the mullahs taking over Britain now, yeah? Because they were a free, loving West, free voting, free speech, democracy. That's what that nation was. The people have a rich identity and culture in who they are. And it's not Islamic. So they've been forced, the women, you just have to meet any Iranians in your country and speak to them. I know many Iranians in the UK, they've fled the Islamic Revolution. I know millions and millions and millions that have fled. Now, have fled to different nations for safety, to get away from the slavery. And so I think when people think about there's going to be this big conflict on the streets there, no one knows what's going to happen, but I think that with the revolution and with the Ayatollahs being taken out, you'll end up with a pro-Western, a pro-freedom, an American-loving nation. Donald Trump's going to be he's going to go down for the next hundreds of years as a hero to that nation, as our America. Now, for the next 100 years, that nation was working to create a nuclear bomb to get rid of America and get rid of Britain. And they hate us. And if you look at Christian populations, just look at the Christians. How are the Christians getting on in Iran? What's the Christian population in Syria? What's it gone from and what's it gone to? So, 0.2% now, is it? Iraq, they're all gone. They're all massacred. So I hear so many people talking about other issues, but I think, well, what's happened to the Christians in the Middle East? Why have they been literally genocided across the Middle East? It's because of the groups that these bastards fund. It's because of the idea that they fund. It's because of their mindset. So I'm in the UK. I'm surrounded by them. I know how they think. They hate us. Yeah, they hate us. So I know many people who are not from towns and cities see this faraway conflict. For many people, it's far away. For me, it's not far away. It's in my country. They're in my country. They're working against our country. They're working against our values. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's devastating to see. And we're going to dive into this as well. I want to talk more about what's happening here in Texas, because obviously that's something that we're seeing firsthand play out. We just saw a terror attack also play out just a few days ago, sadly, here in Austin. So we'll go over that in a moment, Tommy, and I look forward to talking about that, though. Folks, I just want to point your attention right now over to the alexjonesstore.com. We have the Mega March Sale going on right now. This launched yesterday. It is an incredible sale. It is 30 to 40% off most of the supplements right now at the alexjonesstore.com. And, of course, it's for a limited time while supplies last. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. So many of your favorite supplements are on sale right now. And, you know, for Tommy and I, we'll do this in a second. I'm exhausted, so we're going to take some vitamins to give us some energy boost in a moment.
I asked for a double espresso.
That's what we handed
you. I got this. this, so as I say, off my tits, then it's a...
It's going to work, and you have energy when you go talk to Alex in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to need it.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend, special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Well, welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're joining us, of course. We're glad my buddy Tommy Robinson is here in studio. Now, listen, we had a crazy night last night. Not so much in the way of, like, raging, partying, drinking, but we were up kind of late last night. I know you came into Texas yesterday, Tommy. So I could definitely use like a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to do that. And I want you to try this. This is Marmethylene Blue. This is actually one of our more popular items over at the shop right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you literally just take the drop or toss in a couple of drops of it.
A couple of drops, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's by far one of my favorite things to do every morning.
As I said, I asked for a double espresso. I'm now injecting blue stuff into my glass of water.
Yes, you are.
I left at half four. Where did I fly from yesterday? Somewhere in Florida. So half four in the morning, we left.
You were up north in Florida, yeah.
North in Florida, half four in the morning. I got to bed last night at half one. We met up this morning at six. I've done that sort of schedule for about 2 weeks since
yeah,
I've been.
Yeah, and we drove
Dallas. How many drips?
Just keep going. All right, that's good. It's kind of cool though, right?
Well, this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you in about 10 minutes. How quickly is this going
to
work?
I'd say give it a couple minutes. Okay. All right, let's cheers to that. I think you're really going to like this one.
So just explain to me so I know what I'm actually putting in. Not that I really care, but what does it do?
It's going to get rid of your brain fog, which I could tell you have a lot of. Yeah. It's also going to give you an energy boost as well. It's one of my favorite things in the morning to do. I actually don't really do caffeine anymore. Every now and then a sugar-free Red Bull. But
I just do double espressos. I don't like them. But well, I'm running on nothing in a minute.
Well, we've got to get you. This is going to help you significantly. You'll feel it. When you go over to Alex's show, you're going to feel it. And he'll ask you for an update live on air. But also, we have these energy shots, too. There's actually some in Alex's studio as well. And it doesn't taste that bad.
The after thing?
Yeah. And now, so your tongue is blue now.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when I first started, the English Defence League?
Yeah.
There's a drink in the UK called Blue WKD. I was a bit of a bitch. I don't like alcohol, yeah? So I don't like beer, I don't like alcohol. I don't like tasting any of it. So I used to drink these sugary girls' drinks, Blue WKD.
Uh-huh.
I was only, 24 was I? But from when I was 18, 24, now I'd drink them and I'd give me a blue tongue.
Yeah.
So I started the English Defence League and I started getting photographed everywhere. Mm. And every photograph of me had a blue tongue. So I just had to stop drinking them. And my teeth, they're blue.
Well, listen, you can tell them you got methylene blue now. We'll send you back them.
I'll keep drinking blue WKD.
This is what you're going to need.
Okay.
You'll feel it. I'm telling you. It's great. Everyone loves it when they come into the studio. This is what I...
I'm nicking this.
I make everyone. Yeah, we'll give it to you. We'll give you some to take home with you. But I want to dive back into the conversation because I think also... Oh, I'm going to give you that energy shot too. We'll give you a couple of those.
What
we'll do one energy
shot. What are these
then?
Because I've done some of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me see which ones you have. I don't know which ones they gave you. See, Tommy, when he came in, by the way, it was about a 3.5-hour car ride up from Dallas to Austin. And on your way in, you asked for, obviously, espresso, and we handed you this. So they gave you brain focus. Again, this is going to help you with the brain fog and give you a nice little energy boost. It's all natural, and it's actually one of the top supplements that we have at the shop right now, so that's a great one, too. And then you've also got the powder. I don't think we gave you the powder yet to try, but let's keep it simple for you right now. Let's keep you to the methylene blue. Let's keep you to the brain focus. And then I also want to give you the energy shot later, too. That's over at Alex's studio. We got a bunch of those. I'll give you one to try, and it's my favorite. It's the energy shot. No caffeine. Again, you're going to be amazed by this. There's no caffeine. It doesn't give you any jitters. It's literally energy with just a natural boost of energy that lasts all day long. And I do this every single day to start off my day. And it's by far one of my favorite ones. We just launched those recently over at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, folks, it is the March mega sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite items right now at the shop. So definitely check that out. But, you know, Tommy, I kind of want to dive back into the topic because you and I were going back and forth with all of this. You know, you talked about Texas and what you saw firsthand here in Texas. We've talked about what's happened to me in Texas since I got here. I mean, I used to come to Dallas. I've been coming to Dallas for like 10 years now, and I didn't realize how bad it got, but it got really bad over these last 3 years in Dallas, where it's been taken over by those who have gotten H-1B visas. A massive Indian population has moved in, and then it's also been Muslims, and it's kind of different from what I'm used to, and I'm trying to maneuver around the community, and it's not the same that it used to be, and it's really upsetting, but... a lot of people don't realize that there is a massive Muslim population right now in Texas because they're building up these Muslim compounds like you just described. It's these mini Islamic cities. They're not mega mosques, too. I think a lot of people say mega mosques when they describe it. That's not the case. These are mini cities where we won't
compounds.
Know who's living there. Yeah, because they have all these shops like you detailed. You walked in. There's a restaurant, a supermarket. They have all of the necessities on this property, so they don't ever have to leave. And, you know, Amy Mech is constantly saying, you guys, people are going to be born on these properties, and you're never going to know about it. They don't actually have to tell the government about it because they have everything they need in these cities. And that's exactly what they're doing in Epic. They're trying to build it up. They're even trying to change the name. They went from Epic to The Meadow because they got a lot
Epic's
of pushback.
Epic's quite nice. Doesn't sound Islamic. They'll change the names of those.
That's what they did.
Once they get through,
yeah.
Once that becomes a town, that will be something like Mashallah City.
Yeah, but they don't welcome... you went there. They didn't welcome you. I know so many have gone through. There's a lot of top-notch security, in fact. Some people have reported to me that they actually had their license plates ran before they even make their way into
heaven. We got followed. So a car followed us out. We then went driving around the little neighborhood. The car was following us everywhere.
See, this is the problem, though. And this is the main issue here. And there's allegations because we've seen Ed Drain, who is the police chief in Plano. We've seen him speak at the mosque. He is very clear. He's very detailed as to his siding is always with them. Now, I sent you the video before we even knew who the suspect was. I told you that a man had followed me into my apartment complex, and this was in Plano, Texas at the time. He had followed me into my building. I didn't know who he was. I told him repeatedly to get out, and the only reason why he left after following me up my stairwell was when I pulled a gun on him. I went to the police and tried to report it to the police. The police wouldn't show me the footage. The police, in fact, at first didn't even look at the footage, even though I had an FBI letter saying that I was someone who was being harassed. Somebody, these pedophile groups were going after me, sending me death threats. They didn't care. They looked away when they realized that their police, because I described him as a man who was Middle Eastern. I didn't know what his religious background. I just said he's somebody who's Middle Eastern. He had an accent.
He'd be lying about his religious background anyway. He's probably saying he's a Christian so he can have refugee status.
Yeah, well, that's one of the many things that I am calling into question here with this man.
They all do.
It wasn't until this is when he runs out. Yeah, this is when he runs out because he saw my gun. So when I turned to the police, Ed Drain's police department, they instead referred to this in the police report as a flirting incident. Now, obviously, that's not a flirting incident, but the reason why I'm talking about this...
It's pretty shit of flirting, isn't it? You don't chase a bird up the stairs to flirt with her.
No, you don't. In her apartment...
When she's
apartment,
had no conversation, no word, don't know her. That's not a flirting incident. That's like sort of a harassment.
And he followed me for quite some distance. Now, he's officially been arrested because the Collin County DA's office has officially filed charges against him for trespassing. But it only happened after I pushed back. But this is my point here, is Plano PD, who runs, obviously works with Epic, it's the same police department that refused to respond to me, refused to help me out. Okay. But this is happening all across the state. There was a woman who saw the video of what happened to me. She also walked into Plano Police Department and said, hey, listen, I have footage of this guy, too. The same guy that I think is in this footage, she alleges that this happened to her. She tries showing them the footage, and they said, ma'am, you live in Frisco. You got to go to Frisco Police. And they shoot her away, didn't take down her information or anything. This is what's going on right now in Plano, Texas.
Get used to it.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen if we allow it.
Just get used to it. Okay. Yeah. The police aren't there for you. The police, everyone will succumb to them. Because what the police will weigh up, and I'll give you examples in the UK, for example, yeah? In the UK, we held there was a mass plan for one of these compound centres, and it was in a little town called Dudley, and it was massive, what they were buying. It was huge, the complex, for a mosque, Sharia court, school, everything was inside these massive walls. So they're planning it, and it was a derelict building at the time, an old manufacturing factory. So we got someone up onto the roof of it in the middle of the night to play a call of prayer. So we played the call of prayer out as it's bellowing out, just to let the community know, well, this is what's coming. This is what you're going to have. Yeah, so just get used to it. Started bawling out. Muslims come out, rioted everywhere. They come out in the middle of the night, and it's all kicking off. Lads are up on the roof, waving the flags, and then playing the call to prayer. This is probably 2011, 2012. Muslims come out, then they're fighting against the police, they're riding against the police. Now, when we got home, we read on a far-left website, because you have to understand that the far-left will align with these groups. They'll all work together for the destruction of the United States of America. You're seeing it now. You've seen it in your universities. You've seen it in your college campuses. You've seen it in New York. You've seen it. You've all seen it. Okay, you can see it now. You don't have to listen to us. It's happening here. It's in America. So as they're doing this, a Muslim attacks, and we read... attacks a police officer with a brick, smash him in the head. Mm. So then we read that the imam went with a group of 200 Muslims to the police station to demand they release the man without charge. Mm. And we read that he was released. And to me, I'm thinking, well, that's impossible. Yeah. That hasn't happened. You can't attack a copper. So then I was leader of the English Defence League, which was a street protest movement. We used to protest issues around Islam. Mm-hmm. I've gone to a meeting because we used to have meetings with gold commanders, silver commanders from each police force. So when we're coming to a city, we sit down and negotiate what we want in demonstrations, in where we're going and what's legal. So I went to the next meeting with the Midlands, the Birmingham Police Force. We used to call it the West Midlands Police Force. We used to call them West Muslim Police Force because that's what they end up becoming, yeah? So we sat down with the police and we said, I read something online, lads. I read that after what happened in Dudley, that the imam come to the police station and you guys freed the man. And they all looked and I could tell straight away, I went, oh my God. You let him go. Why would you let him go? Mm. And then they said, Tommy, we're faced with a situation. We have one charge for one criminal offence, or we have the potential of riots here that may start here, but they'll spread to every other Islamic community. So we have to weigh it up. I said, who controls the streets of this city? And it's not you, is it? It's the imam. The imam's come down and told you what to do. Yeah. You've done it. And that's what you're going to see here. And it's not just, remember, the hierarchy of police forces in the UK, they're politicians. They're put into positions, and it's the police force become politicised. And then you have a Labour Party, a Democrat Party, whichever party, because unfortunately for you guys, and for us, the Republicans and the Democrats at certain levels will become succumb to them. When you look at the funding that's coming into some of your politicians here, your Republicans, what, 13 million is it from a Pakistani? Yeah. So they buy their way in. So that someone can afford £100 million in funding. And it's like, when you look at the money that's needed for these campaigns, Islam will bring the money in. Saudi, Qatar, this money will flow into the country to influence your politicians. And then they can swing the votes. Because you see, if they build that compound and there's 10,000 or 20,000 live with, once they create an enclave and you've got 20,000, 30,000, for example, my hometown, there's 50,000. So we have 45 mosques. When I was born, we had one. Now we have 45. The leader of the council of mosques, this is where they all come together, will sit down with the council and say, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, and we'll give you 50,000 votes. Now your church priest might tell you who to vote for, but people vote different ways. When their imam tells them who to vote for, because they're using democracy to end democracy, they'll use your constitution to end your constitution. They will use your values to overthrow your values, to replace your values. So they're going to use the system whilst they've got the protections of freedom of speech and they've got the protections under the Religious Freedom Act. Islam's not a religion. It's a political ideology. The last thing they do is pray. These are command and control centres set up in your community to command and control the community, to change the community for what? For Sharia. Who's funding? Who's funding FXC? Have you looked into it?
It's questionable groups right now because I don't want to make the accusations on air, but I will say that what usually happens, I believe it might be Saudi-based.
Saudi-based. Not Israel then?
No. Well, okay. This is the other thing too.
Entire enclaves are being set up in your country, funded by Saudi, funded by Qatar, funded by Islamic nations, most of which those Islamic nations you currently have your right-wing commentators, many of them, in bed with.
Yeah.
That's the reality. So as your country's going to change its demographic, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen because I've watched it happen. Yeah. They're going to set up bases. And whilst they're setting up bases, you'll have people like Tucker Carlson telling you how great Qatar is. But Qatar has spent £1 billion in my country. £1 billion. And that £1 billion has gone to the spread of Islam and the Islamization of my nation. £1 billion, Qatar. Yeah. They're not your friends. They're not your friends. Qatar fund most of them. It's the home and the base of most of these terrorist groups. It's the Hamas, their headquarters, Muslim Brotherhood, all of them. They sit there in their base and then they decide how they're going to Islamize. Remember, Islam's goal is to conquer the world. It's not to conquer Israel. It's to conquer the world. It's like some people think there was no problems up until 1948. It's like, oh, okay, Israel was formed in 1948. Well, it's 1,400 years of jihad. 1,400. It's like, no matter what conflict you look at, they have raped, pillaged, and smashed Christians. The Battle of the Gates of Vienna in 1638 was on September 11th. Yeah, the Battle of the Gates of Vienna. Israel wasn't here, okay? Islam was massacring. Islam was waging war upon who? Non-Muslims. 45 countries have turned to civil conflict because of what? Because Islam coming as a minority, like it's doing now in the United States of America, there's not one single example where it's peacefully coexisted. One. Now that doesn't mean everything an Israeli government or an American government or a British government does is good or right. Yeah? But you need to understand, because I hear commentators in the United States talking about a Muslim-Christian alliance. Yeah, you come to Europe and tell us about a Muslim-Christian alliance. You come into Germany, or you go into France, or you go into Sweden, and you tell us about this Muslim-Christian alliance. You ain't going to get one. They might have a little alliance with you when they're at 1%. Trust me. Yeah?
Well, they could lie to us, of course, yeah.
And they are lying to you.
Yeah.
But they're not lying to you.
Yeah.
Your own commentators are lying to you. Tucker Carlson's lying to you. I'm just telling you how it is. I've watched him. Tucker Carlson come into my country.
In your opinion, yeah. That's how you view
it. It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. Tucker Carlson is lying. Tucker Carlson come into my country and said, there's no problems here. What do you mean there's no problems here? A whole generation of our daughters are being raped. What do you mean there's no problems? Islam's all right because my taxi driver was nice. Yeah, well done, Tucker. That's right, innit? Qatar's great. Yeah, it's great. Great. They're funding every terrorist organization in the world. £1 billion, as I said. Most of the problems I see in my country. Do you know, Qatar, I went in, when I walked in to do an Al Jazeera speech, you can go and find this interview. I went in to go into the Al Jazeera building. France had just been blown to bits in a terrorist attack. The money come from Qatar. I walk into Al Jazeera's head office, which again is just a propaganda machine on behalf of Islam.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay. That's what it is. I went in to Al Jazeera's office and I had to go through all these metal detectors everywhere. And security everywhere. And then I sat down and said, you cheeky bastards. We're out there on the street. They're killing us. In every European country. You're funding it. And then you sit in here protected by all your... You've literally got a military here to defend you. When the people that you're funding are in my country desecrating it. Desecrating it. So again, Tucker Carlson has no idea what he's talking about. If I'm honest. I watch and look and think...
What?
Come to the UK.
Can I jump in on this? Because I think this is the problem that I
And I'd like to, if anyone knows Tucker Carlson, get me sat down with him whilst I'm in America.
Well, I think it should be, I think you guys both should have an open debate, and I think it should be one
Well, he pretends again, when we're all about lying, he sat and pretended he didn't know me. I've been on his show twice, he's talked about me multiple times. He's, who's Tommy Robinson? Oh, no, I don't know him. Yeah.
Well, that was bizarre, because I actually learned who you were from watching Tucker Carlson
he's
tonight.
He's a liar, it's not bizarre. He's lying.
Well,
he's lying about me, he's lying about Qatar, he's lying about Islam. He's lying about the danger you face. And it's not just him. He's saying Muslim immigration is not going to be a threat to this nation. It's not, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Well,
are you, that is actually, to me, it's like, well, you're going to allow this to grow and grow and grow and grow. And none of these videos, I'm just telling you, America, none of these videos from these commentators who have took the stance of pro-Iran or pro-Qatar or any of these nations, none of them are going to age well, because you're going to face jihad like you did this week in Texas. It's going to happen time and time again. They're going to blow up your country. They're going to massacre your people. They're going to rape. They're going to pillage. And the whole time you're going to go back to videos of people like Tucker Carlson saying, yeah, it's all right.
Well, I want to jump in on this because I think this is the big problem that I have. Number one, obviously, I'm very well aware of the Islamic threat, and I do truly believe that we do on the homeland have a massive, massive threat here. But to be fair, I mean, the reason what I'm against, though, 100% is all foreign money being poured into the United States, because it's not just Qatar, it's not just the Saudis, it's also Israel, and I know this for a fact because myself included, I've been offered on both sides of all of this. Qatar has offered, through someone else, has offered me a vacation for free, no cost, to go visit. Obviously, I'm not a moron. I want to go there because I'm very outspoken about the Islam threat here in the United States. But then Israel has also done the same. And there's also been, and again, it's through other groups. So we know what's going on here, but it happens on all fronts. There's
I'd go, okay, if Qatar want to pay me, let me come. I'll come and ask you some questions.
Would you like to?
I'll come and ask every question I want to ask. So let's see if they've got free speech. Do you know when I went onto Al Jazeera? Watch this. I went onto Al Jazeera. I've got some stupid ex-BBC presenter talking about free speech. I said, you haven't got free speech. What are you talking about? He said, we have free speech. People can speak freely. I said, you can't even leave Islam. It's punishable by death. What are you talking about? It's punishable by death. But I recorded the whole thing myself. So as I'm sitting talking and they've got their show, then I said, Mohammed's a murderer. He's a rapist. And then when they put their show out, guess what?
They cut it out.
They cut it out. But I've got the recording. So you can watch this recording. I've got the recording. And then I've got a man who, I'm not being funny. It's the same as Tucker Carlson. He's sitting there bullshitting, lying about free speech. He's lying about Qatar. He's lying about what the country's about. He's lying about their value system. He's lying about everything. He's lying about it. Qatar's a terrorist state. And I know our nations need to be, I know because of the economy, Qatar own more land in my country than the royal family. They've bought our countries. They're buying yours. Who's the biggest funder of universities? Who's funding all these places? Who's funding everything? The money's coming in from Qatar. It's coming in from Saudi. It's
China.
China as well. But China, they're all doing it because they want to see the fall of Western nations. They're happy for it. They want to see it.
Yeah. The money's flowing in all different directions, and I just 100% believe we should all cut it off, because there's no need for it. We as Americans could survive without it.
And if Americans are looking at it, saying, I don't want money coming from Israel, I don't want money coming from there, fair enough. But to sit and lie to the public and say, Islamic immigration is going to be fine for America, it's a lie.
No.
And you can look at our countries, and you're at crossroads. You either end up like Britain, and end up like France, and end up like Sweden. And what will happen is your politicians will bend to them. Everyone will bend to them. You've just seen my Keir Starmer there. If we had no Muslims in Britain, he wouldn't be doing that. And then he's going back on his value system, on our core allies, on the foreign policy. Everything's changing because of a 6% hostile Islamic community who will burn, riot and murder. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's the issue here, because we're seeing it firsthand here in Texas, and I think a lot of Americans just would rather kick the can on the road and not address the core issue of this, and that is that we're importing people that hate us. And it's rapidly kind of expanded over these last few years. And again, I don't think most people are going to understand how bad it is, because they stay in their compounds, they don't leave. And as Amy Meck puts it, you know, they're going to keep reproducing, and you're not going to know how many kids they have, because they don't have to report to the government, because everything is it's all inclusive. I mean, not for us, but for their properties. They've got the restaurants, they've got the schools, they've got the supermarkets, they've got the clothing stores. There's no reason for them to venture off and leave. And so from birth to death, they're going to be on those properties, and we won't even know who's there. And the worst part about it too is the individuals who, we had this issue on New Year's in 2025. There was an individual who's an American who was apparently attending a mosque, I believe, in Houston, and he carried out a terrorist attack in New Orleans. He used his car as a weapon and just mowed down people who were celebrating the New Year's in New Orleans. And he was someone who was domestic. He is somebody who is an American citizen who somehow, some way became radicalized. A lot of these people are flying out of the country, going to questionable countries that sponsor terrorism, and then coming back to the States, and this is what's happening.
Somehow, some way. It's a organized effort to convert, to radicalize. Again, where's the money coming from? It's coming from Iran. Again, you're taking out one of the main sponsors. You've just done it this week. The United States have took out one of the main sponsors of Islamic Jihad and terrorism around the globe. I think it's a great thing that they're gone. And let's see what replaces it. Who knows?
But that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, it's the problem in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't think it's a problem for the Persian people. I actually truthfully believe they're going to rise up and you'll see a freedom-loving Western nation, a Western-loving nation.
Yeah, and I don't think we want our footprints on any of this, though, at this point.
No, I don't think anyone, because I see it hasn't clearly said that, but I don't want British troops in there. I don't want British troops in there. But if we can play a part and help out, British troops need to be in there? Do American troops need to be there? Time will tell. At the same time, they're working against you. They are, again, we got on the, so shall we just sit back? So let's say they're working on a nuclear weapon, yeah? Let's say they are. That's a difficult one, because we heard about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was all a lie. It was all for the benefit of invading these nations. But Saddam Hussein wasn't a jihadist who wanted a worldwide caliphate. He wasn't, yeah? The spiritual leader, Khomeini, and Iran are. There's a whole, the difference in mindset, Saddam Hussein was quite happy just to be in charge of his people in Iraq. Gaddafi was quite happy just to control his country. But these people want world domination. They're working for it. So if they did have a button and they could press it, you'd all be gone. If they could. So then we don't know what intelligence Donald Trump has. I trust Donald Trump more than I trust any other politician. Donald Trump and the American government are fighting for us in Europe and our free speech. The Overton window shifted a lot in the last 12 to 18 months. A lot. And I give a lot of a round of applause to that coming from America. On free speech, on our rights as citizens. We don't have free speech. We live in a post-free speech era in Europe. There's no free speech.
Yeah.
Not if you know.
You found out, yeah.
Yeah, as all of us are finding out. 12,000 people arrested last year for social media posts in Great Britain. 800 in Russia. Yet we keep getting told by our politicians about Russia.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stop pretending we have free speech. Stop pretending we're the land of freedom. We're not. You are a totalitarian state, and what are the weapons of a totalitarian state? And I'm not just us, because under the era of Joe Biden, and under the era of your establishment working alongside big tech, you were living under a totalitarian state. When you have an organized effort to influence big business, as we saw with the Twitter files, so to take businesses, put pressure on them and tell them what to do, to censor, deplatform and sideline and hide certain voices through cancel culture or things like that, deleting people, then you don't really have free speech. You know, really, you didn't at that time, because they didn't mind you having free speech if me and you were talking in a pub or me and you were talking in our lounge. But the minute you started using your free speech in platforms like this, they come for you. They come for you.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, we've got you here all day. And we're excited to have you here. I know Alex is going to have you up next. That's the good news. And so will Harrison. We're very, very excited to have you here in Austin, Texas for the day. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is the March mega sale going on right this second. 30 to 40% off your favorite supplements. Not all of the supplements, I believe. That might have changed. I'll have to scroll through it in a little bit and see myself. But yesterday, it was some of the most popular ones were on sale for 30 to 40% off. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you snag it before it's too late. Tommy Robinson's here on InfoWars for the full day, so there's much more ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Yes, InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.